Good afternoon. I'm Ryan Baker. They're underway down in Augusta for the 90th Masters Tournament. Kurt Kitayama, your leader at minus four through 10. Tommy Fleetwood and Patrick Reed, minus three, one stroke back. Adam Scott, Brian Harman, and Daniel Berger teeing off right now. Scottie Scheffler begins at 144. We're 10 minutes away from baseball as the Cincinnati Reds wrap up their series down in Miami with the Marlins. Rhett Lauder versus Max Meyer, the pitching matchup. You can hear that right now over on the Fan 2. The Cleveland Guardians with an off day before starting the series in Atlanta tomorrow, and it's the next biggest game of the season for the Columbus Blue Jackets. They head to Buffalo to face the Sabres at 7. Pre-game coverage here on The Fan begins at 6:30. This one's sponsored by BMI Federal Credit Union. Voted best credit union for the past 8 years in a row by CBUS Top Picks. You can learn more at BMIFCU.org.
It's time to add some spice to your nooner. Nooner. Funny. This is the place where big-time guests, bold opinions, and little cute doggies come together. This is Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus, the number one rated windows and doors in Columbus.
All right, here we go. Rothman and Ice. Thursday. The Masters. Anthony Rothman, Matty Ice, TLC, back behind the glass. Good to see you, fellas.
What up? It is good to see you as well. I think I know the answer to the question I'm about to ask you, but I'm going to ask it anyway. You are one of the biggest fans of golf I've ever met in my entire life. And this is the Super Bowl of golf teeing off today.
It is.
Why don't you take this day off or days off to really just bask in it and just really marinate in all the different shots you're going to see in the beauty of the Masters? You never take this day off.
I know. It's a great call by you. I don't know why. Maybe because it's more fun to get paid to watch it.
That's the answer I knew was coming.
I didn't know if I was even going to say that.
There we go.
Actually, that just came to me. I'm being honest.
I figured you'd go, and that's smart.
And I never really think that way. It's just, I think I'd have more frustration not being able to talk about it.
Okay.
And just being at home or whatever and watching it. And, yeah, I get into it. This is the only major that stays at the same course. It's a fairy tale. Been very fortunate to be down there a couple times as just a fan or a patron, as they call them.
Fire the gong. We're a minute into the show.
Okay. And that's a gong. It's really not.
Do you understand how many people are jealous of what you just said?
I got lucky.
But you've still been there.
It's not anything I did. It's not anybody I know. I am the Halley's Comet of Masters Lottery. I win every 18 years. And so I went in 04 and I went back in, well, maybe not 18. I think it went 04 and 24, maybe 20 years apart.
So it's a double goal, really.
Was I 06? Who knows? But
you can't even keep TLC. Can't even keep track. He's been there.
Okay. You get twice in my life. And I'd go back.
Good
again.
For you. No, honestly, though, like, I'm jealous of you that you've been able to walk on the hallowed grounds of Augusta, right? Like, there's probably so many people that are huge golf fans that are listening right now. They're like, man, I'd kill to get down there, whether it's the par three or whether it's an actual
day. Fun day.
Well,
I've never been down there for a tournament day.
Okay.
I didn't get that lucky. Yeah. I did get the day of non-tournament, which is the par three day.
You mentioned the par three day. A lot of negative reaction to Jason Kelce and Kevin Hart yesterday, which I don't understand. Like, let's just all relax a little bit.
Made it about them?
Did they make it about them, or was it just about the entire day? Like, to me, it's a lighthearted day. We got kids running around. We got girlfriends and wives running around. Mm-hmm. Like, it didn't bother me that Kelce and Kevin Hart were there. Like, I don't know. I've seen a lot of negative reaction to it.
Okay, so I guess when I looked up and saw Kelce, I was like, all right, what is the big attraction there? Like, what is big ex-football player, great player,
works for ESPN,
brother of Travis?
Yeah,
and I'm wondering if he didn't have a brother named Travis Kelce, would he be doing this?
So I think you're asking is Jason Kelce a legit needle mover?
He's
everywhere.
They've really attached themselves to him.
Yeah.
And seems like a good guy. I don't really have any.
He's fun loving, easy going, former football player, crack a beer,
the everyman.
That's kind of the box I think in their mind, they believe he checks.
Listen, everything out there, you and I said this yesterday, ESPN's doing all their stuff there, and I thought it's weird. They've really blurred it with the NFL, and like they're doing sports centers there, and Laura Rutledge is hosting, and they got Darlington out there, and they're trying to like intermix it, but it's a massive platform. They're taking advantage of it. They know they have eyes on it. And I've got no real problem. I never really put anything on the par three anyway. That's, you know, once you've seen like an hour of it, you've kind of seen it. Now, when Nicholas's grandson made a hole in one, that was something special, but that had a family connection. Mm-hmm. To throw Kevin Hart out there, I understand where maybe the negative's coming from, that this is kind of, and I know you hate this, but this is about as buttoned up as a sporting event as you'll ever know or ever watch. They really pay homage to their tradition. The no phones, those pictures on 18 on Sunday when everyone's standing up and there's no phones. They're living in the moment, which I thought you'd like. And the food, they kept the food at like, you know, 1960 prices or
whatever.
That's
incredible. So that's incredible.
Now,
I love that.
They'll sell millions of dollars in gear. Oh, yeah. I don't even know if there's a number I could give you. You could probably, it's worth a Google. You probably could find it.
Let me check it out.
That in the week of the Masters, and they only, you can buy it certainly on eBay, but you can't really just go online. And there's this one company that gets to go in there every year and pilfer everything out of there and sell it online for triple the price. But mostly you have to go there. To buy any Augusta National gear, you have to do it in the pro shop. And I've told you about the little garden gnome. It's like, so they make a certain amount of them available per day.
Mm-hmm. $70 million.
Yeah, I've got...
A week? For the week?
For the week.
AI overview is telling me, and in the range that he's talking about, the Masters can generate an estimated $69 to $80 million operating at roughly $1 million per hour.
Yes.
That's what they're cooking.
And I'm telling you, so to get the garden gnome, which I don't have and don't really want... You have to arrive right when the gates open, earlier, get in the parking lot, and you have to literally run to the pro shop, but they don't allow you to run. So you got to walk real fast.
A little speed walk.
And then you buy everything you want, and then you go throw it back in your car, and then you go watch the tournament. Now, for the people that want to sit somewhere, they've got to get there early and bring their chair and put their chair down where they want to sit for the day.
You got to divide and conquer, right?
Well, no, it's very respected. Once the chair is there, no one's going to move your chair out of the way. No one's going to.
No, I guess I'm saying like if the three of us go, right? TLC is going to do the heavy lifting.
He'll carry the chairs.
We
send him with the chairs.
And you and I go to the pro shop.
Yeah,
that's how we do it. Divide and conquer.
We buy it and we go back to the car and dump it. I've described it this way. There are certain, and you guys could probably bring this up too, there are certain venues in sports. I've not been to Fenway. I've not been to Lambeau.
Yankee Stadium? You've been there? The old one?
The old one, I believe I was.
Okay.
But there are some venues in sports where you go, and it's more about the venue than even the event itself sometimes.
Yeah.
And that's what Augusta is for me. Picture driving down like Morse Road.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden there's like one of the most elite golf courses in the world, like off a side street.
Yeah.
That's what this is. That's Washington Road is there, and then Magnolia Lane, and we parked. We didn't even park on the grounds. We parked about, I don't know, maybe half a mile away, and walked in, had our food, went to the par three. I spent way too much time at the par three because that's the place we can get really close to the golfers, so I wanted to kind of be on one of the tee boxes. Mm-hmm. And then around 3 o'clock, I was like, oh, man, we got to go walk the course. We gotta go, because that's the whole key, is going all the way down to 12 and then go over to 16 and see that par 3. And on some of the practice days, watch the guys skip the ball across the water at 16. And then the rest of it. So this is how I've always described it. You guys have not seen Field of Dreams.
I've seen that.
Oh, you guys have? Yeah. Okay, good. So remember when Moonlight Graham, you know, gets to play on the Field of Dreams, and then his daughter chokes on the hot dog and falls off, and he has to decide, this is my baseball career or I am a doctor. And when he steps back over the gravel and his cleats turn into wingtips, when I walked in there, I walked in off the first tee, and you're walking on the, what are they, the wood chips or whatever, and you kind of weave your way in. And when I got onto the grounds, like onto the grass. That's what it felt like to me. I felt like you opened up Alice in Wonderland, like you opened up a fairy tale book,
okay,
and then I got to step into it. And that's what that place is. It's
that's cool.
About as beautiful. It's manicured. It's more hilly than you'd ever expect. You can stand up on 18 and look back kind of down 9. You can look down 10. It's kind of like you're at High and Broad, man. You're kind of like right at the center there. But it's been since 1934. It's been the home of some of the greatest memories. And I think a lot of it is the fact that they do hand out a green jacket. I'm not going to lie. I think that that's part of it. It's unique. The other unique is that unique part of it is that it's the only one that stays at its place, doesn't rotate. And the other big part for me from a geeky golf standpoint is this. It's not the U.S. Open. So you're not protecting par as much. The greens are the great defense. There's no rough there, right? There are a lot of trees. You can get into some trouble, but there's no rough. So you're hitting off the pine straw, the pine needles and all that. It's the greens. They're glass. They're undulating. It's the greatest defense. But what I was going to say is
undulating.
Undulating might
siren.
Be. Okay, yeah, that's fine.
Undulating.
That's
probably, I like that.
All right.
But that's siren.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. I couldn't spell it, but I can say it.
It's good. I like
so,
it.
But here's what it does. The back nine at the Masters pays off risk reward like no other tournament I've ever seen. Not on 10, 11, and 12. You got to get through there. Mm-hmm. And it's that you can eagle 13. You can eagle 15. You can play the green at 16 to a birdie. You can maybe birdie 17. 18 is more of a par hole. And depending on where the pins are and all that. And Sunday. But my point is that you can track somebody down on Sunday. You can watch somebody leak oil. And you can watch somebody catch somebody. It's the greatest risk reward back nine of any major,
okay,
because you can go get the leader. You can reel in the leader, and because they're feeling the pressure and you're swinging freely. And if you're a big hitter and it's going to be dry and firm, it's going to be fast out there this week.
Go get it.
You can
go get
but
it.
But the greens are going to be lightning. I know the guys are off to a good start, and I'm kind of surprised that Patrick Reed is 5 under through 8. Like, I am. I didn't think the leader would be double digits under par. I thought we'd have 9 under or worse. But your guy Fleetwood's 3 under through 7.
He sunk one yesterday, didn't he, at the par 3? I think I saw that.
He did.
Yeah.
Yeah. And my guy Shoffley's 1 under through 7. But Patrick Reed, a former champ, is 5 under through 8, and he's leading. So yeah, we'll keep. Actually, what we're going to do today, I did this to you last year, where I did kind of a Masters quiz, but it was more of a fun thing. It wasn't really a golfy,
yeah,
you know. We got it. I think he gets in the cooker today.
Okay,
right. You've always said it's
bring
your turn.
It's his time. It's his time.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun guess for you, and I think Maddie's going to put the over under on it. So we'll do 18 questions.
Oh,
okay.
Two segments,
front nine and a back nine. And so what's the win? If he gets 10 or more over 9.5?
We'll get him a round
power
of core.
Power.
I was going to call them core powers.
Yeah, about a power. We actually corrected it. We're so used to saying it wrong that we intentionally power tried core? To say it wrong, which made us say it right.
Power core.
It's a core power technically, okay, but I like how we call them power core, okay, so I'd rather call them that.
Okay. All right. So what is he gets the power core if he gets 10
yeah,
of
we'll
the 18?
Over under at 9.5.
All right, okay,
there we go. Let's do it.
All right, when do you want to do that? 2 o'clock?
Yeah, let's do it there.
All right, we'll get after that at 2 o'clock. We'll keep you up to date on the Masters, and it'll be a fun day, no doubt. We'll come back, and we'll get into the draft a little bit, because Peter Schrager was the one that had not all 4 Buckeyes going in the top 10, and he explains maybe why he has 1 Buckeye pseudo slider. That's next, Rothman and Ice on the Fan.
We're going to Minnesota to find Moonlight Graham.
We have so many local shows, I can't fit them in a 10-second promo. So let's just say we're live and local all damn day. The Fan.
Hey, what's up? It's T-Bone.
Ohio.
The Jackets hit the road for a battle with the Sabres. Live fan coverage starts Thursday night at 6:30.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Heating and Cooling.
Proud to be your flagship home of the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Plenty of sunshine for us today. A beautiful day ahead and warm with highs in the mid to upper 70s and breezy winds.
We get mostly clear skies tonight with our lows in the 50s. And then for Friday, we will see a partly sunny day with chances of showers and storms developing in the afternoon and evening. Winds will be breezy and highs in the mid-70s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with a 10 weather impact forecast.
Catch the latest from the world of Ohio State athletics. Weeknights at 6 on The Buckeye Show. New special guests in everything Scarlet and Gray, The Fan. Anthony's hidden talent is weaving a movie quote into every conversation. It's mostly not annoying. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
Shout out to my man, Matt Barnes, NBC4, who every year reminds me with a picture that he played Augusta not once but twice. Now, he used to work at Augusta. My guess is he won the lottery.
Oh, he used to work there?
I think that's how he got there.
Okay, okay.
That he worked in Augusta. I'll get the details. And my guess is that he won the media lottery. There's a media lottery, and guys get to play on Monday. Now, when we have Shed on, I always ask, because he's played it too, and I think there's a rule now, and maybe that wasn't when Barnsley played it, that if you won the media lottery and got to play Monday, you didn't get, if you won it again, or you weren't even eligible to win it again for another like 7 years or something, or more than that. There's a big, you cannot just keep winning it.
Okay, okay. We had a good interview yesterday with Dave Shadlowski. Yeah. It was good stuff. Go check that out if you want a little Masters preview. I know we're off and running, but it was some good stuff. TLC, I need one more gong because I didn't get to this out of the gate because AR mentioned that he had been there twice. We did not fire the gong for the Masters hat that's on, so that, we need one of those. He's rocking it. You can see that chat on the YouTube camera right now. Airs. It's fire, too. I love it. I love that you went with the black one.
Yeah, I did.
That's probably the
break
one.
Break the gong. We might need to break out the backup gong.
Every time I see Barnsley in this picture on Twitter, I try to write something stupid back to him, but he's got a glove on, he's got golf shoes,
okay.
He doesn't have a putter in his hand, and there are no clubs to be seen. Now, I'm pretty sure he played it, but I always say to him, you know, you're out there without...
Where are the clubs at,
big dog? Where are the clubs? I see people back there on the green, he's on the Hogan Bridge, so I'm not going to question it too much, but... Now, we're getting into AI territory, so...
But he's been doing this before AI really kind of took over the social media space and the world and all that.
Photoshop existed.
Matt Barnes, he gets to live a nice life. Because every time I look up, I think he's traveling Olympics, to the Olympics and this sporting event. Man, the man's all over the place doing a good job, so credit to him.
All right, so awesome. I retweeted it.
Good.
I said, I hope you fell into Race Creek twice. Going and coming.
My fortune of playing. Is there any chance? Any chance that playing the course means that he was a caddy and kind of was a background dancer?
Don't think so. No, I don't think so. I think he got it.
Hacking around a little bit out there.
My goodness. All right. Well, it is a tradition unlike any other, and I'm starting to love it. Like, I look forward to it now.
He doesn't surprise me. How long has this been going?
At least 10 years? 15.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a minute.
Well done, Barnsley. I hope you keep tweeting me till we're very old. I'm already gray till we're old.
Twitter.
Will that exist? Who knows? Ooh, all right, Peter Schrager slipped the Buckeyes a little bit. Not horribly. We talked about this with Karp. This wasn't a massive injustice or some disrespect. And the more I read, and the more, like, everything's a crapshoot with the draft. And as much as we'd like to see all the Buckeyes go in the top 10, he had two of them in what, at 11 and 12?
He had Carnell Tate, AR, to your point, going down to the 305 and suiting up for the Miami Dolphins in this hypothetical mock draft at 11. And then he had Caleb Downs, the All-American safety, going one spot after that down to Jerry's World and becoming a Dallas Cowboy at 12.
I certainly don't you believe Arvel Reese is a lock for top five?
Feels like we're headed that way.
So if he's a lock for top five, where would we put the floor for, well, we talked about who's going to slip. Or who could slip? He's got the one slipper. Is there sound on that?
So he was, you know, I'm sure he got a lot of reaction to this because Peter Schrager isn't really a kind of film breakdown guy. Because I actually think guys that do mock drafts like this that are, quote, reporters more than they are like a Dan Orlovsky where I'm breaking down the tape, to me it's kind of AR what they're hearing, right? Like the people that they're talking to more so than, hey, I like this guy's ability to, I don't know, tackle or stop the run or whatever it may be. And so he was asked about the, quote, I guess, slide for Caleb Downs down to 12, and here's his explanation.
So last year when I had Booker going in the first round, I caused a lot of problems with Cowboys fans saying there is no way. They're certainly not taking offensive line, and then they took offensive line because I knew that they loved him. Downs, I look at their new defensive coordinator, and I look at what his specialty is. It's defensive backs. And I'm telling you, I know Christian. He is a 34-year-old who is all about creativity, high energy, and smarts. Caleb Downs, Matt Patricia told me, when he joins whatever team he joins, he will immediately be the smartest player on that defense and the face of the franchise. Oh, that's a pretty good, you know, recommendation. I think that's fairly nice. No one thought he could possibly slip out of the top 10. I look at this draft, and I look at the positions and the values and what these teams need. Safety has almost been a luxury for a lot of these teams as they view the draft, and I point to Kyle Hamilton, supposed to be a top 10 pick, goes 14. Derwin James, supposed to be a top 10 pick, goes 18. You look at any mock draft last year, Nick Emmanuel was going in the first round. He falls to the second round. So by the trends, I don't necessarily think a team is going to take a safety in the top 10 above an elite corner, above an elite pass rusher, above a wide receiver, if they have needs at those positions.
All right, so let's be honest. The sound effects were from you, not from somebody he was talking to, correct?
Oh, correct. Okay. I played the gong because he began his point talking about, hey, remember last year when I nailed the Cowboys pick? No, but I'll take your word for it. And then the boing was about him saying, I talked to Matt Patricia, and he told me that Caleb Downs is going to be the smartest player on any defense he walks on to. Yeah, I'm sure that his defensive coordinator loves him. Yeah, good point. Okay. His final point, though, was actually like good football talk, where he said that there have been a string of safeties in recent years who have been seemingly underdrafted compared to what mock drafters placed them as. And
I'm happy about it because one of those guys is suiting up for my team on Sundays, and he is awesome.
And you could also probably say Malachi Starks fell a little bit further.
He was the only safety, I think, that was taken in the first round.
Last year?
Yeah.
Out of Georgia?
Yeah.
I don't think there was any other. I think Peter's betting the trends. I think he's right. We've talked about this. It's not that he could be one of the best safeties in the league. It's where you value safety and what team is going to value that the most. Could he slip into 11-12 range? Of course he could. Like, no one's going to, and it's not going to be disrespectful if somebody doesn't take him in the top 10, even though people do say, arguably, he's maybe the best defensive player in the draft.
And can't imagine Bengal fans would love that scenario, because going back to Peter's mock draft, he would have the Bengals obviously passing on him to go with Mansoor Delane at corner. So still in that defensive back realm, but I have to imagine, like, Bengal fans are on the clock and they're seeing Caleb Downs still sitting there in that draft war room. There are gonna be a lot of them at home saying, give me the former Buckeye, because you know what he is.
Bain Jr.'s there, though,
over Caleb Downs.
Yeah
I mean, I don't think you can go, well,
look at what they did last year.
Caleb feels safer to me than Bain.
Shamar Stewart was last year.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
so think about last year. They were taking a shot. I think they need a sure thing,
and that's
defensively.
Caleb.
And that may be the high floor of that defensive in the secondary that Caleb Downs, I don't think you can, there's no bust there. He's the kind of talent that they would want in that back end. And if he's one of the best safeties in the draft and can be the best safety in the league, then that's certainly a weapon that they would entertain. I do think the Bengals, when they go defense, and they really should unless Jeremiah Love slips, that they're going to try to take someone that's going to be a true tone setter, a high floor, almost a sure thing defensively.
I wonder, with Al Golden right now and looking at that unit specifically, do they feel like that's an absolute need after investing in Brian Cook this offseason, a vet that came over from Kansas City that's played some good ball from for them. And then a few years ago, drafting Jordan Battle in the third round. Now, maybe they look at Caleb Downs and look at Jordan Battle and say this is an absolute level up. But because they've already invested there this offseason, maybe Schrager has talked to some people in that building, and maybe they're saying, hey, you know what? We do need a little bit more help at corner. And after what Delane did at his pro day and kind of quieting a little bit of the noise around the injury stuff, that they may be leaning more corner than safety right now if the board breaks that way.
That's fine. They need help in the secondary. That's what they need. They have to fix it. And if Caleb is there, my gut is they take him. My gut is if he's there at 10, that's a big hole on the roster. He can play the slot. Like, I think that they would take him. You said Battle and Cook there. Now all of a sudden you've band-aided the secondary and you feel a lot better about where you could be. All right, we're going to come back and we're going to talk with Ryan Roberts and get his opinion on exactly what we talked about. Caleb Downs, his floor, his ceiling, and a lot more in 2 minutes. Rothman
and Lender. Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
These two have a ton in common. Anthony loves hockey, and Maddie's always cold. This is Rothman and Ice.
A quick Masters update for you. Cam Young, a lot of people's pick to click this week, is tanking out of the gate at +4. There's always somebody that's going to ruin that damn parlay, right? All right, let's get back to the NFL draft and talk to our friend Ryan Roberts, A to Z Sports, and he's with us now. Snap, crackle, and crunch on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fangest Hotline. We may have to clean this up a little bit, TLC. Why don't you pot that down and hop on the line with Ryan and see what happened there.
Yeah, it sounded like it was like in out of space somewhere. Mm. It's crazy. What's going on there?
I'll be very curious to see what he has about our feeling on what the Bengals would do at 10. I don't think they complain about if Bain and Caleb are there. That'd be a great problem to have.
Yeah.
It's good to go? No.
Not good to
all
go.
Right. All right. All right. Hop on the horn with him and see what happens. Call him back. You know? And whenever you're on a cell phone with somebody, Maddie, and it's or something, it's your, like, the call drops and nobody knows why. Are you the guy that calls back, or do you wait for that person to call you back? You're driving, the call drops, you don't know why. Most people, and this is what I've learned, most people, it's like almost an ego thing. It's like, well, it couldn't have been my phone.
Did I call them first, or did they call me first?
I never even thought about that.
I don't even know.
You're factoring that into the equation?
I just thought of it. I don't even know how much that matters or should matter. But I usually call back, and then you usually get like, sent directly to their voicemail because they're trying to call you. So you're kind of like blocking each other in getting there.
All right, let's see.
So I'll call back.
I think we called him back. Ryan, you good now? We got you?
I hope so.
There
I
we
hope
go.
So. Sorry about that, guys.
No, no. It's all not beyond your control, man. We're going to start with Cincinnati at 10, and we're going to presume they stay there because they always do. So you tell me, if Caleb Downs and Reuben Bain Jr. are both there, what should they do? What will they do?
Oh, that's a great question. I would probably defer to the edge rusher just based upon positional value a little bit. And it's not necessarily a knock against Caleb, because I think that Caleb is a awesome football player and brings a really high floor to the table, which I think is also needed for Cincinnati right now. Like, I just feel like even though he's a younger guy and a rookie, it's going to sound weird, but like they need just kind of more adults in that room, you know, guys that you kind of have an expectation and are more consistent. And so I think Caleb would be a good pick at 10. I just think if the edge rusher position, even though Bain has some question marks and some flaws, I think just that difference in just how valuable that position is, that you go for the edge rusher more often than not if the grades are similar.
So there's just so much, you know, hype around Jeremiah Love right now and what he's going to be. And, you know, one of the teams that seems to be attached to him, you know, over the last couple of weeks is Tennessee. I want to ask you this, Ryan. Do you think that's an ideal fit for him out of the gate? And if it's not Tennessee, where could he go and have some immediate success, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think the three most likely probably right now are Tennessee at 4, you have the Giants at 5, and then the Commanders are at 7. I think that those are probably like the most likely destinations for him right now. Tennessee is probably the worst situation out of those three, which is kind of interesting to say, but I also don't think it's a horrible situation, because I actually think the offensive line needs to add an interior offensive lineman throughout the draft. But otherwise, I mean, you have your two starting tackles, you have your left guard, who's a heck of a player in Peter Skoronski. So, and you have a second-year quarterback that they're investing into the wide receiver room that should hopefully bring some lighter boxes than what we saw last year for, like, Tony Pollard. So I think it's not a bad situation. But I do think that, like, the Giants is interesting with Harbaugh now there, and you know that they're going to be very run-first and physical and a lot better in the line of scrimmage than they were previously. And the Commanders, I think, is really interesting if Jane Daniels could stay healthy, because he naturally, with his athleticism and his ability to work the RPO game and get the ball out, that lightens boxes just in effect. So I think that Washington would probably be like the number one spot that I'm like, I think that's a pretty seamless fit for him, followed by the Giants, and Tennessee's probably third, but I really don't think either one of those spots are a horrible spot for a guy like a Jeremiah Love.
So the Browns are sitting there at six, and let's go on the hypothetical that they stay, and their offensive line was an absolute wreck, and they've had to kind of overhaul that. So they've done a little bit of work there, and I don't see a true, I mean, maybe Freeling is the guy from Georgia, but there's temptation with Carnell Tate, and if he's available at six, do the Browns look to pair him with Judy or still go and try to fix their O-line?
So I think Carnell Tate is the point break on that situation, because I think that if he's there, it's going to change your ideology a little bit, because I actually think that some people around the NFL right now, and I think like Dane Brugler and a couple other people have kind of hinted at it the last couple of days, but I actually think there's a shot that he could go inside the top five. So if he's there at six, I think it kind of changes your formula a little bit. But I do think that it's going to be an interesting conversation of, like, fits for the offensive line, because, like, as you mentioned, like, they strengthened the interior a little bit. They got Titus Howard, who's a right tackle, right? So, like, you have kind of solidified the right side in theory. You just need a left tackle. And Monroe Freeling, who I think has all the upside in the world, I actually think that just conversations I've had recently, it's probably more likely that he kind of goes more in the teens than he does probably top 10, most likely right now. So outside of him, though, you don't have like a bona fide easy answer at left tackle that's going to go inside the top 10. Like Spencer Fano played left tackle as a freshman at Utah, but he's been a right tackle the last 2 years. And then, you know, do you want to force a Caden Proctor at that point? Like, I personally wouldn't do it, but I do think that Proctor is a guy from Alabama that's going to go a lot earlier than we're kind of figuring right now. So if he ended up being like the pick at six for the Cleveland Browns, I wouldn't necessarily be shocked at that situation. But I do think if Tate's on the board, I think that is actually kind of an easy selection. Honestly, it might be best for the Browns to just kind of have that out of picking an offensive tackle at six, because I actually think the board could be a lot more advantageous as a 24 if you're trying to find a left tackle.
Let's slide down to 21 and talk about Pittsburgh, and specifically this hypothetical of if Ty Simpson is there, and let's say even Aaron Rodgers has committed to them to be their guy at least for one more year, would you deem him worthy of that type of pick for Pittsburgh, or should they pass and maybe go somewhere else?
Pittsburgh's so weird because they're just, you have to think like they're kind of desperate for a quarterback. You know what I mean? Like, you can wait on Aaron Rodgers all you want, I guess, but like, you just don't have a future at the position, and you have a new head coach that I would certainly think would want to turn the page and have a future, or at least a more tangible future. But I personally just wouldn't. I know there's, again, like a lot of people like Todd McShay, you know, who have a good voice in the industry, have been kind of pounding the table that they think Simpson's going to go in the first round, and he might very well do it. But like, I just have heard some very conflicting reports on that, or conflicting opinions on that, I should say, from people that I know. So I'm going to say that he actually doesn't end up going in the first round. I guess that might be a semi hot take at this point based upon a lot of the recent conversation, but I a 15 game starter, a guy that does have a smaller frame and his body was breaking down on him down the stretch of the season, and his last like five games of the year were his worst, you know? So like, I don't know. I could be dying on this hill and be completely wrong, but I actually think there might be more hesitation on pulling the trigger on Ty in the first round than maybe some people think.
We are talking with our friend Ryan Roberts, NFL Draft, A to Z Sports NFL. All right, so let's go on the hypothetical that the Browns go offensive line up top, or they don't take a receiver because they feel like maybe they can get one later at, what, 24. There's depth there, and if they go lineman then receiver and stay at 24, who do you think they could get there?
It's, I think one of the more fascinating just people to kind of watch in this conversation is just how comfortable the league is with Jordan Tyson from Arizona State. I mean, if you told me he was the first or second wide receiver off the board inside the top 15, I wouldn't be shocked necessarily. But And the medicals came back clean. Like, I had kind of reported that after the combine that, like, from the people that I had spoken to around the league, like, the medicals came out well during the combine process. But the problem is that it can come back clean all at once. He still missed 18 games. You know what I mean? Like, it's the durability issues are still very much there. So I'm fascinated to see if he slides a little bit, and he might be within that range, possible. But I would say most likely you're talking about, like, a Casey Concepcion out of Texas A&M, who's obviously the after-catch threat. Omar Cooper Jr. maybe goes a touch higher, but, like, I do think that KC, Denzel Boston, if you just want a bigger body type, they're certainly going to be an attractive board if you just want to stick at offensive line at six and then wait for 24, because I do think that it is a pretty deep wide receiver class, as it seems like it is every single year at this point now.
Let's focus in real quick on Kansas City and their two first-round picks. So when we get done with, you know, the first round next Thursday, and you find out what Kansas City has done, what, in your opinion, would be a successful body of work for Andy Reid and company with those two selections?
I mean, I think one has to go to the defensive line. It could either go in interior. I think it could be a guy, the partner on the other side of George Karlaftis, and help out Chris Jones. And I think the other thing is the secondary, right? Like, you overhauled your entire secondary. You lost Brian Cook, and you traded away Trent McDuffie. You lost Jalen Watson, like, and Joshua Williams. You are reloading the secondary. So I think if you come out with, let's say, a Reuben Bain at nine, potentially, or you take one of the top two corners in Mansoor Delane or Jermaine McCoy at nine, and then on the back end, I think they pick like 29 or something like that. If at that spot you draft the player, you know, vice versa, like if you go edge there at the top and then you get a Colton Hood, let's say, out of Tennessee, or if you go the other direction and you decide that you want to get a Nakeem Mesidor or somebody like that, Kodrick Faulk, if he falls that way, I think that that would probably be an interesting formula. But either way, no matter how you slice it, I think you need to get someone on the defensive line with one of those top two picks, and you need to help out the secondary with the other. Like, those spots scream to me of, like, they need that desperately on both sides of it.
Great stuff with our friend Ryan Roberts. That's awesome, man. Enjoy the week. We're 1 week out, bud. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Appreciate you guys. Have a great day.
You too. Ryan Roberts, A to Z Sports, on the Bryan Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. All right, we'll come back. We'll stay with college football. Urban Meyer on turning the tide at Ohio State. That's next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Head to 971thefan.com to listen on demand and subscribe to all our podcasts. Wasting time has never been easier. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Hey, it's Bo Bishop here.
Four. Have you ever met a man who wins money betting on tennis? Enter Scotty Vegas. Join Scotty and Dave Biddle for On the Money.
Presented by Ohio for Responsible Gambling.
Sunday mornings at 9 on The Fan.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Columbus Worthington Air and Bryant, doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Anthony can follow direction very well, as long as he first prints out MapQuest. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
When Urban got here, and it was a wild time, right? There's a lot of pessimism in the Big Ten, and obviously, there's pessimism at Ohio State, and Luke Fickell was running it. And, you know, they hired Urban before Luke even got to that Michigan game. And I remember just how intense that was. Pardon me.
What'd you eat today? You got a little.
Nah, it's, I don't know. A lot of that going gravelly. On today. A little gravelly.
Okay.
A little spring, you know.
Yeah.
Gravel going on.
I had to pop a little Claritin earlier, man. You know, it is that time of year. Maybe you need to do that. You have bad allergies? Has that ever been a thing for you? Okay. Lucky you.
Yeah.
Must be nice. Because I get the dry eyes and red eyes in the morning and all that. It's brutal, man.
Oh, I got the dry eyes.
It's the worst.
I don't think it's an allergy.
Congestion, all of it. Like, since I was a kid. Because I get bodied by allergies this time of year.
I know. That lavender. Those lilacs in the air.
That pollen.
That pollen.
Sounded like SIVO.
Hello.
Exactly.
Hello.
Hello. So, I remember, you know, thinking that if they hadn't hired Urban yet and Luke would have beaten Michigan, there would have been a lot of pressure. Former great player takes him through Michigan and all of a sudden be like, okay, we got our guy. But they hired Urban. It was a preemptive strike. They hired Urban because they wanted Urban, and this would have been a good problem to have, but they almost didn't want to wait to see if Luke beat Michigan, because then that would have kind of, it would have created a little bit of an issue. But Urban was hired, and Luke finally had hit the wall, man, intensity. I remember that. There was one soundbite where he's like, everyone just kept asking him about the job. And he was like, listen, all I know is, you know, my ass is going to be in Ann Arbor, like on set. Like yeah. that's, he just, it finally, it just blew. And Urban wound up keeping him on the staff. And it was kind of a nice smooth over because there was that feel. You had a legendary player. He was shepherding the program through a tough time. They almost beat Michigan, didn't. And they kept him on the program. But the highest rated team in the BCS standings back then was Wisconsin. And no Big Ten, there was going to be no Big Ten team in the national championship for, I think, the fourth straight year. And Penn State had the scandal. So weeks before that, Joe Paterno got fired. And here Ohio State's going to their first, hear me correctly, seven, you guys can double check this, first seven loss season.
6-7?
In before long? The 1900s.
Yeah.
All right. And
doesn't happen around these
right.
parts.
So that's where they were. Mm-hmm. And then you get Urban Meyer, who was, in my mind, a lot of Buckeye fans' minds, public enemy number one. You hated him. Everybody did.
Until
he was yours.
Your guy.
And
absolutely.
He provided, when it came to recruiting, he lit a fire under these coaches. There was no handshake agreement. Even D'Antonio was all over him. Like, what are you doing poaching my guys? Like, I got an agreement with this guy. And Urban was like,
don't care. Don't care. Trying to win.
When he's there, I'll leave him alone.
Trying to win at the highest level. Yeah.
So his impact on the league was incredible, right? Three Big Ten titles and all that. And obviously he bailed out in a interesting time. You know, certainly he was undefeated against Michigan and provided the soft landing in a very turbulent time. And he went through a three-game suspension, and Ryan Day gets the TCU game and wins it. And it was just, it was a wild time. So Urban Meyer was talking about that on his Triple Option podcast, and the effect that was really felt with Urban Meyer was with on the recruiting trail. It was number one. And I remember talking to a lot of former Buckeyes about this, skill guys, and saying, do you think he'll be able to get the guys from the South to come up here, skill players, to play this kind of football in this kind of weather? But his scheme and his style was, we are going to spread you out, we're going to make you cover every inch of this field, and we're going to get the ball to our best athletes in space, and good luck. And that's what he did. And he was talking about recruiting and what really turned it for him.
I'd like to think we at Ohio State were a big part of that. We went from saying, let's compete in the Big Ten. I said that to our staff and everybody. Said, we are no longer. We called it the chase. You know who we were chasing? Alabama. In 2012, we went undefeated, and I went down and watched Alabama just beat the mess out of Notre Dame. And I said that our team would get crushed by Alabama. And I challenged every player that night on the phone, every coach, and we recruited nationally from that point forward. And so we're going to go get the best players, not just the local players.
Mm-hmm. This was, it's a very cliche, Maddie, build a fence around Ohio. Yeah, for the greatest of all of them.
I've never believed in that. Like, I don't think that needs to be the end-all, be-all. In a similar situation to where there was some pushback from some former players about the Michigan game and all that, and you need more guys from Ohio. I was like, okay, like, I think that's fine. You obviously want the good players to stay here, but go get the best no matter where they're at. So that game that Urban's talking about, the level of physicality that he probably saw on display from Alabama and that crew is Eddie Lacy running downhill all over TLC's Golden Domers and Amari Cooper. And then you had guys on defense like Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. And you go back and look at the guys that were drafted on those teams coming out of that 2012 to 2013 window for Alabama. And it's, you know, Dante Hightower and Courtney Upshaw and Marcel Darius. These guys are first and second round picks, guys in the trenches. And he probably felt like, or questioned, are we physical enough right now? Do we have enough edge? And so I think that's the responsibility of every coach, no matter where you're at,
is to reset every offseason, reassess your roster, and feel like, okay, are we where the sport is going right now? And at the time, when you had Saban and those crews every single year coming out with just dude after dude on the offensive side and the defensive side, I think it was fair to question maybe at the time, do we have enough? And clearly he felt like they didn't. And obviously he went on and corrected that and went on to do some good things.
They got exposed. They got exposed when it counted in big games. I remember the Big Ten. I mean, there were a lot of years where the Big Ten would get to a BCS bowl and somehow they would get exposed.
Mm-hmm.
And he mentioned it, even when Alabama played Notre Dame, they got exposed a little bit. And they kind of got labeled, and maybe TLC could weigh in on this. I remember in my mind, they kind of got labeled like they're a Big Ten type of team. Like they didn't get the kind of that universal freedom of we're Notre Dame. We're on our own island. We're our own thing. They were kind of like, even though they weren't in the Big Ten, they were like, they play Big Ten football and we can beat
them. Push them around a little bit?
Well, no, I think we can out-style them, out-athlete them, out. Like, I think that was it. And I think Urban Meyer started it all because I think he brought the mentality into this conference and that they're going to recruit at a higher level. And I think people questioned it. I certainly was waiting to see whether he could get the skill guys from the warmer climates to come up to Ohio and play football and want to do it. But man, there was a big difference. It started a little bit for me when James Franklin went to Penn State because I thought, all right, here's an SEC guy. He's going to Penn State. I thought, all right, maybe. And he actually made some strides in recruiting, I remember. Like Michigan landed with Sean Gary, and he had Micah, and they made some inroads, but Urban was the one that really took it to a whole nother level and challenged everybody.
Brought an edge.
Yeah. He brought a competition in his own team too.
Yeah.
Like no one was safe. Did you share that thought with Notre Dame?
Yeah, we definitely did have a Big Ten reputation, and I guess to a degree still do, because so many of our best draft picks come from O-line and tight end. And so we kind of just have that Midwestern identity of not being athletic enough on the perimeter, but being really good in the trenches. And so I do think that that kind of lends itself to that. I have a little bit of a different takeaway because I almost wonder, I have an opinion that I don't think a lot of Ohio State fans would agree with.
Save it.
But I think what Urban Meyer just said actually may prove my point.
Bring it up next.
We'll hear that next after a sports update. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
No hot takes, no dancing, plenty of stupid. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Ohio.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon. I'm Ryan Baker. Round one of the Masters underway down at Augusta National. Your leader is Patrick Reed at -4 through 10 holes. Then three golfers check in at -3. Chris Wright and Sam Burns and Tommy Fleetwood. John Rahm, Ludvig Åberg, and Chris Goddard the next to tee off. Scottie Scheffler hits the tee box at 144. Down in Miami, they're in the top of the fourth right now. The Cincinnati Reds trailing the Miami Marlins 1-0. You can catch that over on the Fan 2. The Columbus Clippers in Worcester taking on the Red Sox at 6:05. It's the next biggest game of the season for the Columbus Blue Jackets. They're in Buffalo tonight facing the Sabres at 7. Rick Bone has said on T-Bone and Tyvus that Jet Greaves starts in goal. Pre-game here on the Fan begins at 6:30. This one's sponsored by Green & Sons. Find your next Kubota tractor at Green & Sons, located in Mount Sterling and north of Marysville, or online at greenandsons.com.
Maddie ranked the most dynamic duo of all time, Caesar Salad and Moscow Mule. This is Rothman and Ice.
All right, here's an update for you. I got your update right here. Freddie Couples has gone birdie to start the Masters.
The unk out there getting busy, huh?
His 41st Masters. 66-year-old Freddie Couples. Let's just start bird.
41, huh?
Bird
41 of these things.
One at 92.
That's bananas. Wow. Good for him.
B-A-N-A-N-A-S?
That's right.
All right.
That's right.
Boom, boom. Freddie Couples. Where does that put him? That puts him at like 10th.
I got him tied for fifth.
Okay, well, tied. Okay, yeah, ties.
Count. Where are we at with a Freddie Couples career earnings? Because we played this game yesterday with Tommy Fleetwood, and he hasn't even won a major yet.
The problem is Freddie played when there was money, but not money like this.
Okay. He's probably not hurting, obviously.
No.
He's not hurt. I don't know. TLC, I'll look this up. Let me look this up. Freddie Couples.
Chad.
Oh, yeah. Chad's outstanding. He knows everything.
Freddie Couples net worth.
Mm-hmm. Well, who did we ask about yesterday? Fleetwood?
Yeah, Fleetwood.
He was at
Fleetwood.
Like 60?
Yeah, with no, not
and
a major.
I would say Freddie's half that. I mean, look at Nicklaus and the money he could have earned.
I got you approximately 120. This is not career earnings. This is net worth.
Oh, net worth's different.
Yeah.
We can't count that.
I have his career, unless you guys want to guess. Does anybody want to guess career earnings?
30.
You're close. 22.8. Okay. You're in the ballpark.
But like TLC said, he's probably earned that and then
endorsements and all the other stuff. Yeah. He's getting paid to do. Absolutely.
Woo, that's something. All right. Well, there's your, that's a big one, though. It'd be nice to have. I think there's just something special about if you can get one of these older champions to make the cut and be around for the weekend and get that Sunday walk up 18. Yeah. That would be awesome.
Kind of that vibe that Tiger had in 2019, like that element of surprise, right, with a big name. We weren't really expecting to be hanging around. A Tiger went on to win the thing in 2019.
Yeah, he was a contender. Freddie's not.
We're just saying, like, where the body was with Tiger. So, like, he was kind of going through it and stuff, right? So that's why it was such a big surprise. But, yeah, I hear what you're saying.
It's like my boy Jose Maria. Oh, I lost my ball. He started 200 through 3, and he finished 2 over today. Not horrible. But, yeah, if you get an older champ, that would be pretty cool. All right, so let's hope Freddie, that's what we'll hitch our wagon to. Hope Freddie can be around for the weekend. That'd be pretty strong. Reed is 4 under. He leads. Fleetwood, your guy, is 1 back at 3. My guy, Shoffley, is now 2 under. He just birded 10. All right, that's kind of stealing one there at 10,
I was a little nervous yesterday when I saw Tommy knock in one of those par 3s, and he got an ace. I was like, is he using up all the good magic, right? But maybe that's just the beginning.
He hadn't hit a green yet. Like, he aced at the par 3 contest. Like, he was horrible and then made an ace. Yeah.
Just in the rough bunker.
He had no fear of winning it.
Yeah. Just all over the place.
Just missed greens.
Yeah.
And because it was all about his kid and his kids were there. And the whole thing was about Frankie and could he get to the ninth hole in the par 3 and hit it over the water and be dry.
Mm-hmm.
He did, and he hit a couple in the water. And every year, and they made a huge deal out of it. ESPN. I felt so bad for this kid. Like, I mean, maybe it'll be good eventually. Like, he had all the bright lights and it was all about Frankie Fleetwood. And is he going to make it over the water? Like, it was the little engine that could.
He sounds like he's going to be successful with that name.
It's an amazing
Frankie
name.
Frankie Fleetwood.
Yeah.
He's going to be doing something.
Frank in general gets you pretty far.
Okay.
It's kind of a name that can cut glass. Oh. You know, like Dirk Diggler. You know, Frankie Fleetwood.
Oh, so you said like Frank like sets a tone.
Like, yeah.
You mean like a Frank
that
Thomas.
Announces your presence with authority.
Frank Thomas the Big Hurt. Yeah.
My name is Frank. What do you, I mean, that's.
Is that better than my name is Franklin? It's not hitting the same. When you put the lin on the end of
it's
that?
Just strong.
Okay.
Heavy consonants. Like
Frank.
There's no way to say it softly. There's no way to say, my name is Frank. Yeah. No. Your name is Frank. Let me be frank with you. All right. Give me your take on...
On Urban's take.
On Urban, because I was looking forward to this.
All right, so...
Don't let us down.
I have contended that as we are piggybacking off the topic from the last segment, where Urban Meyer said that watching what Alabama did in 2012 in the national championship game inspired him to say, wow, we're not on their level. We need to recruit differently than what we have been doing. We can't just be doing this. Oh, you know, all of our little homegrown Buckeye. I say homegrown Buckeyes like condescendingly, even though Ohio State was still even so like ranked in the top 10 all the time.
Better watch out. Joshua Perry won't come in here and body slam you.
Well, this would be more of Devere and Dane because this would have been pre-2012. So actually, if anybody were to be insulted, it'd be them. But even so, again, still very successful. I have contended in my lifetime that regardless of conference, regardless of geography, regardless of history, and easy for me to say I was born in 99, so just take my prime years of like middle school and high school. In my lifetime, Ohio State's biggest rival has been Alabama, not Michigan. So take away the 1 week of the year. The other 51 weeks of the year, Ohio State fans are more concerned with what the SEC is doing, namely Alabama in my lifetime, than what Michigan's doing. Michigan is a one-week rivalry for the majority of my lifetime. Not every single year, because obviously Michigan has a championship in the past 3 years. The Connor Stallion stuff was big. So, yeah, there are, and losing 4 in a row, of course, that was like the story of the offseason. even coming off of your own national championship a couple of years ago. But I'm making a general point about a long-term period of time. In my lifetime, Alabama's been a bigger rival for Ohio State than Michigan is, whether they play them on the schedule or not.
Let's find out. Have the most national titles, correct, in your lifetime?
No doubt.
Yeah, so Alabama would. So you wouldn't be wrong. But I think Ohio State has more wins.
Okay, I mean, either way, I still think the national titles...
I'm with you.
Why don't we find out? Why don't we put out a poll? Have you, as a Buckeye fan, ever viewed any other program outside of Michigan as a bigger rivalry or something like that?
At times.
I think it has to be a leading question, though. I don't even think they're going to consider that.
You don't think Clemson, for a brief moment in time, when they were winning natties in 16 and 18 and Ohio State had those games against them and dominating the ACC for a decade and... Like, that was big
this time. This fan base in Columbus, Ohio, we're doing large sample size here. We're not doing, we don't cross out A's for Alabama like we do M's for... I'm not talking about that. I'm talking a 52-week calendar year sample size. By and large, Ohio State fans are more concerned with the numbers next to their name versus the numbers next to whatever your favorite SEC school to hate is. And work in the AP rankings, that is more of a concern. More energy is spent by Buckeye fans worrying about SEC AP poll rankings than Michigan throughout the year.
I want to find out. So how do you want to phrase this poll?
It's got to be a leading question because I got to have Alabama be an option.
Okay.
Do they cross out the M in Alabama?
Yeah exactly. Or cross out the A in Michigan. But that's my take.
Thanks.
And send me,
Dom.
Yeah, exactly. You can send messages to my Facebook and Twitter pages.
Twitter.
I contend that in my lifetime, Ohio State fans have spent more time being concerned about the SEC than Michigan.
Boy, it's a pretty broad question.
I know, and it's long term, and I know that we're coming off of last offseason where all we did was talk about how do you break the cold streak. You've lost to Michigan 4 times in a row. How do you break that? So all we talked about was Michigan, but...
And on the other side of that, some of that window of time that you're talking about, Urban was just cleaning up against Michigan, right? Yeah. Like, you felt good about it. You were, quote, worried about them to a certain degree because you respected the rivalry, but the comfort that was there because of what Urban and the crew were doing, you were kind of like, hey, you know what? I'm just going to handle business again against those guys.
So I'm trying to understand the question itself.
I think
you're asking people if they believe...
It's more of a statement because I don't think they'll be honest. So I'm telling them how they feel.
Did they ever view, to your point, maybe Clemson or Alabama
as a bigger rival than
Michigan at all in your Buckeye fandom? Yeah. Were you ever in that headspace?
Yeah. Did they ever hate Bama more than Michigan?
And it's not,
I don't think so.
It's not totally fair because it's not just Alabama. It's like the upper echelon of the SEC collectively because it can rotate. Like, a couple years ago was Georgia. LSU's had a couple years. Florida beat them back in back-to-back championships in two different sports. So it is kind of like one team versus a conference. But even when I say a conference, it's really like 3 or 4 teams within that conference.
Yeah.
But it is like a cultural thing.
Yeah. The problem is, so with Bama, it's all the natties. Like, you get to the point where there's only so much, you can hate them, but there's only so much you can rip them for. Because they were winning, I mean, from what, 09 to 12, they were
cooking, man.
Yeah.
But this also goes back to our whole discussions last year about, well, what's more important, a national championship or beating Michigan?
Yeah.
And there's Urban Meyer saying, we're striving for something greater, even way back in 2012.
I think the playoff lends itself to leaning more towards being the last team standing now. That the bigger picture, when we're going through the BCS time and maybe you weren't good enough to actually play for a national title, so, and only 2 teams got to do it. So if you lost a game, you may have been out of it years ago. Mm-hmm. And then the Michigan game became more important. Because if you weren't going to go undefeated and play for it all, then all you had left was beating Michigan.
Yeah.
And now you can lose to Michigan, which they've proven, and relight the fuse and go on to win and be the last team standing and then be highly respected because of the gauntlet that you have to go through to win a title, especially if you're coming from an area where they were coming from that year.
So Arkansas is a ramp up.
Yes. All right, well, put that poll out. We'll get to that.
Get it out there.
And we'll come back and ask the question, is this guy still in play as far as a trade? We have some dueling reports. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
If you miss a live show, you can catch the podcast. If you miss the podcast, our hosts have volunteered to have dinner with you.
Bye, the meatloaf!
The Fan.
Get an ego.
Nation.
Your favorite fan shows are available as a podcast. What a concept. And don't miss exclusive podcast content like Austin and Burn. Listen on your schedule from anywhere in the world. Available wherever you get your podcasts. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Plenty of sunshine for us today. A beautiful day ahead and warm with highs in the mid to upper 70s and breezy winds. We get mostly clear skies tonight with our lows in the 50s. And then for Friday, we will see a partly sunny day with chances of showers and storms developing in the afternoon and evening. Winds will be breezy and highs in the mid 70s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with a 10 weather impact forecast.
T-Bone and Tybus are everything you want in a delicious breakfast. Lots of empty calories, no nutritional value.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 9.
The Fan. Maddie's favorite show is Big Brother. Don't read into it. He's only watching strangers through hidden cameras. You're listening to Rothman and Creepy Stalker Guy.
Our friend Dan Dockich, in about 11 minutes, we'll get his feeling. We'll wrap up college hoops, get his feel on Michigan, whether they're here to stay, they've set the agenda now, or whether they've just coached it better than most. All right, I've asked this question before. I always tread a little lightly with Shefty because I feel like I just keep banging on that door and trying to get some answers out of him on this, and there may not be any that really exist, but when Andrew Berry told reporters at the NFL's annual league meetings that the team is not trading their two-time defensive player of the year, Myles Garrett, it sounded pretty emphatic, like it was. And I always want to leave the room for he doesn't know what he doesn't know. And I don't, if someone called and anteed up and gave him the great offer of all time, and he traded Miles, are people going to look at him and say, hey, wait a minute, you told us you weren't trading him? What he'd say is, this offer didn't exist when I said that. It'd be an easy defense to me. Now, there may be some Browns fans that would say, no, you said no, and you promised.
Can you refresh my memory on something? Did he give himself an out with the old, you know, some of these GMs and owners can get, we don't intend.
No, I don't think so.
It wasn't any of that stuff going on.
I think he wanted to put an end. TLC might be able to find it. Like, it was out there.
That's a way to where you really, they can dance around stuff like this with how they use their words.
There was no intend.
Was this when Mike Tomlin, remember when Mike Tomlin
caused more smoke?
When he was asked about, like, hey, I think it was like the USC job or something like that. And he was like, there ain't a check big enough.
Yeah.
Move on. Like, that was like, okay, man, we know where he stands.
I think Andrew sounded pretty like, no, none of this. Now, and by the way, he wasn't answering it. I think the question was about, hey, you restructured his deal and, you know, you made it a little more flexible.
Well, it was interesting, too, because they restructured the deal. And then before that, we found out that the Browns were one of the teams or the team that wanted like one of the a new ruling on draft picks and how far out you can give up draft picks. And it was like, oh, are the Browns trying to cook up this new rule around the NFL? That way they can get teams to come in on Miles and give them their, I don't know, 2033 first and their 2034 first or whatever it is. So those breadcrumbs, they can't blame us for following that. Like when you make it easier financially based off of the restructure to move off a guy and then you want the NFL to change a rule when it comes to draft picks and how far out you can use those, what are we supposed to think?
Yeah, no, I think he shut it down. I think that's if he found, did you find it or no?
No, okay, Andrew Berry has been zapped from the system.
Okay, it's all right. He was trying to shut it down. Hey, lose the grid or lose your job. Hey, shut it down. Shut it down now.
Here it is. I got a quote. If we wanted
Terminator 2? Terminator 2.
No. But I'm glad you picked up on that it was a movie quote.
Yeah.
Yeah, because sometimes you'll sneak a TV show in, like a Seinfeld's popped up.
Yeah, but
here
I mean,
recently.
Sometimes he thinks it's an original.
Home Alone.
That's the best. When I can say something he doesn't believe is anything, he just thinks it's me.
Actually, it's more the reverse at this point. You have a tone of voice that you get into and like a cadence when you're quoting a movie, but sometimes it's original material that just sounds like you're quoting a movie.
I like
it's the reverse.
All right, here's the bite. If we wanted to trade Miles, we wouldn't have needed to make a contract adjustment. So it doesn't have anything to do with that.
Okay.
All right. Miles is a career Brown.
We know.
He is one of the faces of our organization. I think we've been very clear, both past and present, in terms of our feelings. I understand all the questions. I'll be honest. I don't really want to waste a ton of more breath on the topic.
Okay.
Career Brown. That's
okay.
Enough.
That's pretty strong.
Career Brown.
That's not...
Unless he's playing semantics.
That's right. So I'm leaving a little room for this.
Well, somebody else is leaving a little room for it as well.
Who's that?
Mike Florio, correct?
Yep, because there's some mixed signals going on. Oh, this flag thing that's going on. We got mixed signals going on.
Mixed signals continue to emerge from Cleveland about the future of defensive end Myles Garrett. The team says he's not getting traded, and they're never trading him. But they redo his contract in a way that would make it easier to trade him. And then Myles Garrett doesn't show up for the offseason program, and he's reportedly not going to be there at all. It just feels like there's an opening. There's an opportunity for someone to make the Browns an offer they can't refuse. Think of it this way. No one has reported that the Browns are getting calls and slamming down the phone regarding the possibility of a Myles Garrett trade. And this is the time of year that calls are made throughout the league about anyone who could be, maybe, possibly will be available. So not saying it will happen, but I'm not saying it won't happen either. And time will tell how long Myles Garrett remains with the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah. For me, the Browns, this is the march to Brook Park. Like, I honestly would very much consider moving him. If I got this grand offer, I would do it. They've got two first-round picks this year. Trading him could give them multiple additional first-round picks. You start rebuilding either around Shadur or Deshaun, or you get ready for whomever else you could maybe try to move up and get next year with all your ammunition, although if it's a great quarterback, I don't know if anybody would move off of that if they're a quarterback desperate team. But he's 30. Like, he's 30, and it's not like he's got his entire future. Now is the time.
Now is the
I agree.
Time.
Like, he's in his prime. He's still a game wrecker. He's still maybe the most feared defensive guy in the league. And
they
need a team to go all in, though. You need another team. You need a dance partner.
100%. I think if they opened up this, you know, possibility, I think they would have a bunch of dance partners. Like, I really would. Like, if they made it known, however they would make it known, that we're open for business on 95, teams are coming to call. And we had Shefty on yesterday. I know TLC went back because we asked him about this
not
yesterday.
Much.
Just about, hey, like, is there anything there?
Well, I was, like, tiptoeing. Like, I know, Maddie, I was thinking, I'm either going to get one of these. Come on, guys. We've answered this before. But, you know, this is something that is fluid. We've put to rest, or the Browns at least have put to rest, that they're setting up for some potential Garrett trade, that would be actually a very big upset if that happened, correct?
No, I'm not expecting that, yeah.
So compare that to the almost minute that Florio gave it of, yeah, it's a possibility. Chester gave it 1 second.
He's not expecting that.
I think that's a very good, careful way to say it.
Well, not expecting that, but I know if you're a Browns fan, like, obviously you don't. Well, maybe they do. I don't want to speak for them. Maybe there is some Browns fans out there that are looking at where their team is and kind of being realistic of where they're going to be over the next couple of years and have the outlook of what you mentioned and the pathway that you were talking about, where it's like, okay, if this quarterback class next year is legit, we got to be in that mix. And based off of the way that their team feels like they're headed, at least this year, they may already be there already. And so you just want as much, obviously, draft capital as you can to bust the move if you need to. But if not, then I don't understand. Well, I do understand, but I don't agree with the thinking of a team that's where they are right now keeping a player like him.
His trade value has never been higher.
Back-to-back deep boys. Thank you, Shefty.
In my opinion,
I agree. Back-to-back depoys. And like you said, that 30 number's out there, and that starts to sound the alarms a little bit for owners and GMs and all of that. And so maybe they will change their mind. Maybe this is, hey, you get to the trade deadline, that window of time, you reconsider this, but then you're entering in the risk of injury and all that, right? So
Florio's kind of leaning into him not being there for off-season workouts. To me, I'm not reading into that. I'm looking at the reconstructuring and them wanting to trade, you know, the change the draft pick capability and how far you can move out your picks and all that stuff. Like, that to me was a pretty big red flag.
I think Barry's plan is fairly smart in that he doesn't want to give a hint that he's open for business. And so, by the way, he can always work the media different than he works the back channels. Like, it's like for him saying, hey, he's a career Brown. We restructure this. That gives us some flexibility. This is not about making it easier to trade him.
I mean, he is Cleveland, the Canton guy. He's the originator of that quote.
Barry was saying, like, if I wanted to trade him, why would I? I don't need to make a contract adjustment. I could have just traded him. But I'm not buying all of that because he's wants to be smart about this. But if he is the face of your organization and you're paying him as much money as they're paying him, yeah, I could make the case that he probably should be there.
And they want to be in a world eventually to where a defensive player isn't the face of the franchise. We want that to be a quarterback. And it feels like maybe they're on the cusp of finding that. And I think what could help their chances is trading a guy like Miles.
Well, the only thing that Miles can't do, in my opinion, is request another trade. Like, that's... Why not? Publicly, after what he did, and then he signed, and then was all happy and everything, got all his money. The only way he could do that is if he played, and I'm not talking about playing out this year. I'm talking about getting traded before. Like, I just think it would be a horrible look. He already went down that road of, I don't want to go from Cleveland to Canton. And then all of a sudden, you're great with being a Brown because all the sacks of money. And now it's like, what would have changed his mind?
That we're not winning?
Yeah, but he already knew that.
But I'm saying when now, signed, to your point, I'm 30 and I want to go somewhere.
Then we won't be able to believe anything that comes out of his mouth. Well, like, we just won't.
And I don't even know how much that matters as long as he's a good player. You know what I'm saying? Like, who cares? He's a dude.
Yeah, I guess he's wearing your uniform right now.
Yeah.
All right, well, there are your dueling reports on it. Shefty doesn't expect it. Yeah. And Florio says, don't be so naive.
From Carnell tape 40 times to that.
Dan Dockich in 2 minutes. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Yeah.
Calm.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door Showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Now you can watch Rothman and Ice.
Go to YouTube and search 97.1 The Fan.
Rothman is wearing the pancake makeup, so you might as well watch. Back to Rothman and Ice.
All right, that time of the week, we visit with our guy, Double D, Dan Dockich. Don't at me on OutKick, and no truth to the rumor that he's moving the show to Vegas. How was your trip?
Man, I won a lot of money. I'm not going to lie.
Where?
I won a lot of money.
Where and how?
On the golf course.
Okay.
Well, on the golf course, it's a Dockich Invitational. My son, who didn't go this year, but my nephew, my brother, a bunch of guys and their kids, we play old guys versus young guys. And, man, I'll say this for young guys. They don't have the respect for money that guy my age does. I mean, they'll bet anything. And, man, it's nice to have guys that can't play golf dead think that they're good and like to bet. It funds a whole trip. So there you go. But I didn't really... You know, we watched the Michigan game, and I didn't really, you know, I'm old. I didn't get after it much.
You've said that before. You do it right. You go to Vegas, play your golf, have your fun, eat some good meals, and make sure you're not out there with the riffraff. The game was, I'm not going to say the Final Four was underwhelming, but it kind of was. I think we were ready for a heavyweight fight on both sides and really didn't get it. Michigan certainly built that lead. When Roddy Gale missed those two free throws back-to-back, and here's Caravan coming down, if he hits that three and cuts that to one, we may be looking at a UConn-Duke situation all over again, but it doesn't happen. Give me your thoughts on Michigan, what they assembled. I think there's this thought that, okay, they paid $10 million for a roster, and maybe they did, but a lot of the guys that they got, all these transfers, Dan, it's not like they were ready-made stars on their previous teams, right? I mean, Dusty still had to stir this drink.
Look, I know I'm talking to you guys in Ohio State, Michigan, all that kind of stuff, but the idea that they bought a champion is ridiculous because what they did was they participated in the system as the system is. And my school, Indiana, I mean, my guy told me they spent $10 million, they didn't make the damn tournament. I think coaching is interesting now. Like, people are saying he bought it. Okay, Let's think about that. You know, a lot of these guys you mentioned, Mara, he wasn't a great player at UCLA. The point guard was just okay. The Luxembourg was a highly touted guy, but no different than when people would win with five-star recruits like Krzyzewski was getting all the time. You participate in the system as the system is. And it's harder because you're trying to mold these guys. You know, in what? You get there, I don't know, maybe you get there in May, June, July, August, September, October. You're starting to play in November. Not like you got 2-3 years to mold guys. So I think what Dusty did was great. I don't think you're going to hear any coaches complaining about it because coaches know. Jake Diebler knows that this is the system with which we are under. And, hey, if you want to whine about it, great, but it ain't changing. And if it does, okay, but it ain't changing anytime soon. I know there's legislation and all that, but still going to have to figure out getting the best players with the money that you have and molding that team or that group into a team.
So let's stay with that topic of coaching because I'm sitting there the other day and the news comes out of Chapel Hill that North Carolina is rolling with Michael Malone. And I was surprised, Dan, honestly, he was not on my mind at all to take over as the head coach for their basketball program. So hit us with your reaction to that news and what you think he can build down there.
Well, you know, I've always said this. When Mike Woodson went to Indiana, I said there's nobody that's ever been more prepared for that job. I'll tell you why. I mean, an NBA coach coaches so many situations. I mean, guys, you've got quarters, so you've got beginning of quarters, end of quarters, quicker shot clock, so more possessions. And Woodson was completely inept for whatever the reason. And you know what? So was Patrick Ewing. So was Chris Mullin. So was who's the other guy that I'm missing here? There was one other NBA guy. Oh, Juwan Howard. So, you know what? Coaching matters. Understanding the game matters. Now, Malone, I common wisdom says the number one thing he better do is get North Carolina's bag a little more full. They need that bag to get pregnant. You know, they don't need that bag to be skinny with an eating, an eating problem, an eating disorder. That bag needs to be fat. First, get yourself a staff that understands the college game. But look, it's not rocket science. You know, if he gets a big enough bag at Carolina, if he gets what he needs, which is the renovation of the Dean Dome, North Carolina will be fine. But I'll also tell you this. I don't think any of these kids these days give a rat's ass about the beautiful history and tradition of North Carolina. They may like the Jumpman clothes. They may like the fact that Michael Jordan went there, but that ain't getting them play. Like Patrick Ewing told me, I'm Patrick Ewing. I'm at Georgetown. I can get a lot of grandmas. I can get a lot of dads. I can get a lot of aunts and uncles, but ain't no players coming here because I'm Patrick Ewing back in the 80s. So, you got to get that bag that, you know, 10 mil, whatever the number is, that has to be established first. Again, I'm just going by what people inside Chapel Hill have told me and what I'm reading, that they didn't have enough money. Hubert Davis didn't get support. And that sucks because Hubert Davis is one of my favorite people. And I don't agree at all with his firing. I think if you're going to fire this guy, if you don't get your money situation figured out, because this guy will be gone in 3 years too, because that is not a patient fan base.
Our guy, Double D, Dan Dockich, don't at me on Outkick here on Rothman and Ice on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fangus Hotline. Coaches need horses. They got to have the talent. But is Indiana looking bad now by not moving on from Mike Woodson and grabbing Dusty May and bringing him home? Like, they gave him the fourth year, right? And now it's really, it has come back to haunt him. Now, I'm not telling you that if they got Dusty, that suddenly Indiana would have a title today. I don't know that, because the commitment to the players has to go along with the coach, but they pivoted pretty fast, right? I don't think they want to embarrass Woody by firing him after 3 years. You and I talked about this with Maddie during COVID. I think we were talking about it even, like, where are they going? What are they doing? But how does the Dusty May, former Hoosier, student manager, how bad does this make Indiana feel?
Terrible. I mean, you know, and then add on to it where you got a guy that they hired, DeFreeze, who's an introvert. He hasn't captured anybody's imagination here, and they just lost another player. No, I mean, no good. You know this, though, the great panacea is, okay, now go win. All right? You know, you're here. But no, it looks awful. When you look at the basketball program at Indiana, or really any basketball program that has had success in football, not in basketball, you say, why not? Like, you know, the national championship flag is in Bloomington for football. Are you serious? Well, why not basketball? And you know what, guys? I've said this, and I don't know the answer. But I'll never understand as long as I live. And look, I took over a team. We went 3-4, so my bad. But I'll never understand why you can't win in basketball in Indiana. I'll never understand why Vanderbilt is a better basketball program than Indiana. I'll never understand. I don't care whether Dusty May's there or Dusty Springfield or John Wood. I'll never understand why Michigan has a better basketball program consistently over the last 25 years than Indiana. I just won't. And, you know, yeah, it makes Indiana look terrible. It makes Scott Dolson, who made a fantastic hire, look weak because by all accounts, I don't know what's 100% true or what's 100% not true, but by all accounts, Quinn Buckner, who's running the search or running the university, he's the head of the Board of Trustees, he said, we're keeping Woodson for another year. All right. Well, there you go. Because Dusty May, people think, well, you know, a guy's going to wait around for Indiana. That's not how the world of coaching works, because guys in coaching know two things. One, somebody can go on a hell of a run, and he's going to get a long-term deal, so I'm not going to bank on going to Indiana. And two, you know what? You're never out of a job because somebody's like two losing seasons away. So, no, it makes everybody associated with that hire and that retention look terrible.
You love golf. I love golf. Dream foursome, you and three others, actors, athletes, family, you get to pick. This is one time, dead or alive, Dockage is playing with which three people in history?
If it's dead, I'm going with Jesus, Moses, and David. I want to get biblical. But if I'm going like right now, I'll tell you right now, I'm going with Jennifer Aniston, Halle Berry, and Elle McPherson. I don't need no coach telling me about how we ran it on 4th-and-3. I don't need no business titans, fat ass. I want hot women. That's my dream for some big boy.
And I thought originally your Moses call was good, because if you hit it in the water, he can just part it for you. You'd be good to go.
You part it. And if, you know, David was, you know, he was screwing everybody's wife, so hell, he wouldn't mind whatever you did on the course. And, you know, it is what it is. But, I had this question, actually, they asked me on Mike and Mike when I was hosting one time, your Thanksgiving dinner, and everybody said, boy, I'd love to sit with Belichick and Bob Knight and Parcells. I'm like, do you know how boring that would be, listening to these three old guys tell you how great they are? No. Give me Halle Berry. Give me Jennifer Aniston. Give me Lee Ross, my wife, and let's go. Having a hell of a day.
You're right, Belichick. We're on to the mashed potatoes. All right, my friend, incredible wrap up. You know, we're going to be hitting you up often this off season. We can't thank you enough. It's been awesome, but you are our, a big friend of our program. So we will be ringing you up along the way.
Honored that you guys had asked me. Thanks, guys. See you.
Thanks, brother.
Hoosiers sometime, anytime. See you.
You got it. Dan Dockage on the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems Fangist Hotline. Let's play that game, Matty. The dream foursome.
Okay.
Yeah. Think about it.
All right.
Think about that.
I'll have that for you.
Maybe tomorrow even. Masters Friday.
Whenever you're ready.
Yeah.
I'll be ready.
You know, I'm not going to commit to a foursome right here just off the cuff.
Then we won't do it tomorrow either.
No. Tomorrow I'll be ready. Buckeye Bulletin up next, and a big step for hopefully a big-time corner. You'll hear from him next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
If you consider yourself a Buckeye fan, you've come to the right place. This is your heritage sports talker and home of Ohio State Athletics. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Hey, what's up? It's T-Bone.
Come.
Tita Green with Skip Mossick.
Saturday, we'll talk Masters with PGA professional Paul Hollenbaugh. Plus, we'll head down to Augusta with SI.com's Bob Harrigan.
Tita Green with Skip Mossick. Saturday morning at 9 on The Fan. The Fan poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and 32-ounce Yingling drafts for only $4. Rothman and Ice present Buckeye Bulletin.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Save up to 50% on new windows from windownation.com.
Well, I talked about this guy when we did our little social experiment
on guys we're looking forward to seeing this year. And one of them for me is Devin Sanchez. We talked to Karp about him. Came in with the Buckeyes and rolled in, January of 25. Well, we're in April of 26. So he's been around a little bit. He was a five-star kid, one of the top guys in the nation. I think he's going to take a step again. He's going to have to because he's got competition in that room. But everybody knows this defense is going to be different this year with the guys they lose, the guys that are coming in. And he's going to have to be one of them, Maddie, to help this team solidify what they've become, which is one of the great defensive teams in the nation. Here's Devin Sanchez on how this year's defense will be different.
Like you said, different personalities. I feel like, we come together as a team. We got a lot of guys out there that, that talk. We got Earl Little, he talks a lot. Jermaine obviously is one of the sparks of the defense. And then, Peyton Pierce, he's taking that next step too. So I just feel like just a new group of guys, we all learn each other. And then, it'll help us come together.
They put their own mark on it, right? I mean, this is, everybody knows, it's a new year. And as much as they want to continue the tradition and the standards of the standard at Ohio State, then the pressure to keep it where it is. So if he moves into the starting lineup on the other side of Jermaine Matthews Jr., that'll be a big responsibility for him.
Oh, yeah, man. Absolutely. Because I think the dream as a corner is you become the guy to where quarterbacks and offensive coordinators don't want to throw to your side, right? Like, no matter where you put your best playmaker, hey, if I'm over here, nothing's happening for you on this side.
What's that line, Matty? You're only as good as your worst corner.
Oh, I like that.
Because,
yeah.
Okay, you want to lock up half the field. We're good.
Go to the other guy.
Of course.
He can't cover. We're going over there, right? Yeah. And so, yeah, I think you mentioned the recruiting status and whether, depending on what publication you're looking at, number one corner, number two corner, he was a five-star across the board. He seems like he's absolutely got all the traits to be that guy. So that combination should be a good one. Jermaine Matthews Jr. has been around for a while. I think he is going to be expected to be the leader of that room and one of the leaders of the defense. And that's going to be a unit that I'm sure is going to wake up on Saturdays excited about some of the matchups that they're going to be stumbling into, right? With some of the quarterbacks that they're going to face. In week two, they'll see Arch and they'll see, Mayava for USC on the road and Hoover for Indiana. And then obviously Dante Moore. And so, yep. They're going to be going up against some quarterbacks that are going to respect their talents, but also have confidence in their abilities and their teammates to know that, while yes, Jermaine Matthews Jr., Devin Sanchez, you guys are dudes in your own right, we're still going to test you to a certain degree. So I can't wait to see that, but for sure, Devin Sanchez, any guy that already has that talent out of the gate, you get him a little work in year one, he gets in the lab throughout the offseason with the talent he already has, that should be a very, very productive player this season.
So you've got Calhoun there, who's Cam Calhoun, who's the kid that started for Utah, transferred in, and then spent a year at Bama. So he's going to be there, certainly in the mix. And here's Devin on the next steps for him this year.
The steps I'm taking are watching more film, changing my habits outside of here. I feel like I've been watching, a lot of podcasts on, like my mindset and, career development, just a lot of things that I could take, and add to my day-to-day plan.
I like that. I like that it's, can be bigger than football, right? Like going to different avenues of life and sharpening all your tools, right? And the mental part of the game is almost as big as the physical, if not on that same wavelength. And so that's cool to hear, AR, that he's a guy and maybe some other guys are trying to carve out different pathways of success outside of, hey, I'm just going to throw a whole bunch of weight around or run, a whole bunch of 40s or, sprints out there on the field. I like it.
No doubt. This will be very big for Ohio State. They know what they have to replace defensively, and that's going to have to live up to those expectations. The schedule that Ryan Day has talked about, that you mentioned, the quarterbacks they'll have to face, and it's the level of competition is certainly going to be there for Ohio State. So I'm excited to see this secondary. I think it's going to be a big part of what makes or breaks this team.
For sure, and hopefully what you can pair with that is a good pass rush up front, right? And, you lose a guy like Arvell Reese and you lose a guy like Sonny Styles who can help you get home along with Caleb Downs as well. It's big getting Kenyatta Jackson back. You saw what he was able to do last year, and so hopefully there's a leap there. But we can talk all day about the talent of these guys on the back end and in these corners. It's tough to cover for 6, 7, 8 seconds and all that type of stuff if you had the quarterback the ability to pat the rock and run around. And so that's what those guys are going to need is sticky coverage on the back end and guys up front getting home and creating a lot of static around the quarterback.
All right, you heard Devin mention Earl Little Jr., who signed with Ohio State out of the portal just a couple months ago. He played a couple seasons down in Tallahassee at Florida State. He's got 1 year left. Here's Earl Little Jr. on where he's been playing this spring.
They got me in moving pieces. I'm not just at one spot. And I love it, you know, just being able to showcase my versatility. It's like plug and play. Whatever you need, that's what I'll be able to do. And I'll be able to execute at a high level.
You said that when you came to the Fan, didn't you? When they asked you, like, different shows, you said plug and play.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't care.
Whatever you need. On the weekends.
On a volleyball show, sure, or
did
whatever
it.
You want.
Did all that.
Yeah. The NFL Hour.
Hour Tuesday night at 8 p.m. with Joshua Perry and CB. Tita Greens with Skip at 8 a.m. Like, I was willing to do whatever it took, man. Whatever
you were
it took.
Co-hosting Tita Green?
No, he was just running the board. Skip was never having that. He just made sure, get me on the air, get us the commercial break. That's all Skip cared about.
It's a good bite from Earl Little Jr.
It really
like
is, because, you know, Matt Patricia, you got to love that. A versatile piece you can move around in certain spots.
He's free safety at FSU, so...
Yeah.
Play nickel here, I guess.
Be cool, right, if you could have that chess piece to move around. Yeah. Maybe cover different guys or blitz or whatever it may be. I think defensive coordinators got to love having dudes like that.
Okay.
Just imagine Skip asking you for club recommendations when you're 155 yards out versus 170.
Let's go 8-iron. Yeah. Let's go 8-iron.
Maddie, we're looking at you. What do you think I am, Bagger Vance? Pick your own club. All right, we're going to come back top of the hour and hit you with a sports update, get you all caught up on the Masters leaderboard, and then we put TLC in the Augusta pressure cooker. Will he come out on top for a power core? Find out next, Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Question from a listener. Do you dopes ever get tired of talking about Ohio State? No. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
The Fan.
When we decide.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon. I'm Ryan Baker. Everybody is teed off for round one of the 90th Masters down at Augusta National. Your leader is Sam Burns at -5 through 16. Patrick Reed right behind him at -4 through 14. Your leader in the clubhouse, Hao Tai Lee, with 1-under par 71 for the day. Down in Miami right now, they're in the bottom of the six. It's all the Miami Marlins. They lead the Cincinnati Reds 5-1. You can hear that over on the Fan, too. The Guardians with an off day. They'll start a series in Atlanta tomorrow. It's a huge game for the Columbus Blue Jackets tonight. They're in Buffalo to face the Sabres at 7. Jet Greaves gets the start in goal. Igor Zamula goes in on defense. Pre-game coverage on the Fan begins at 6:30. This one's sponsored by the Waterworks and Hutter Plumbing Drain Heating and Cooling. Together to serve you better. Schedule today at thewaterworks.com.
Most shows just skim the surface, but Rothman and Ice feel like the biggest story of the day deserves a closer look. It's time for A Deeper Dive.
Sponsored by Low T Center. Low T Center, reinventing men's healthcare.
All right, final hour of the program. This is a Gold Jacket Thursday. So at 2:30, the pride of the, you could pick anybody off the 85 Bears, but Dan Hampton, the versatile defensive lineman who had umpteen surgeries, good old country boy out of Arkansas, played at Arkansas, was drafted by the Bears in the top four overall back in the late 70s, played his entire career in Chicago, obviously won the Super Bowl, was part of the Super Bowl shuffle. He wasn't in it. I can't wait to ask him about that. He was one of the ones that wasn't in. It wasn't spliced in later and chroma keyed in.
He was out.
But
he was like, I'm good on
the
it.
The dude was probably one of the more, not in Chicago, but most places, unsung.
You going to make it today?
Yeah.
Why? I'm a little worried. Like, there's a lot of like phlegm. That's like the fifth or sixth time.
Phlegm.
It just sounds like I'm just a little concerned.
Maybe strained
a little bit. Working so hard.
I mean, I hope I make it. We're inside of an hour.
And a whole nother show to go tomorrow.
If you guys want me to leave or allow me to leave, I can do it.
You got a lifetime contract here, sir.
I'm just going to leave now. I got the free hour to watch the Masters.
We're working you until the rest of time.
Sam Burns leading the Masters at 5-under. This is what I love about the tournament. Nobody really had him.
He hasn't been top 30 there in a few years. He didn't wasn't playing well coming in. Remember last summer in the back nine, he almost won the U.S. Open. When J.J. Spahn stole it, he got a bad ruling, maybe like a lift, clean, and play situation. And he hadn't recovered from that in a while. But here he is at the Masters at 5-under. Patrick Reed, former champ at 4-under. I'd like to see Lowry hang in there. He's 3-under. Our guys are right there. Fleetwood's 3-under, and Shoffley's 3-under. So
okay.
Our two picks are doing
it.
Pretty well. Jason Day, Central Ohioan, 2-under through 14. McIlroy, who had a little back issue, we weren't sure. There's only been three guys in the history of the Masters that have ever gone back-to-back. Jack, Nick Faldo, and Tiger. So if you're betting against history, you wouldn't bet Rory mm-hmm. to win it again and go back-to-back. The great story right now is Freddie Couples, 2-under through 6. Keep it going, Boom Boom. And he's not playing any senior tees. They all play the same tees. So... we have a couple other names you'd probably be interested in. Spieth is 1-under through 2, so he's just getting going.
I'm looking at another kind of crafty vet lurking in the weeds, and Sergio Garcia. He's hanging around a little bit right now. 1-under. Top 12 on the board at the moment. You know, long way to go. But he's one of those names that's been around for a minute.
No
doubt.
Been
around for a while.
Yep. Now, since he won it back in 2017, he's missed like 6 of 7 cuts there.
Mm-hmm.
So... last year he was gone, and he was playing well on LIV before the Masters. So his game has been, I mean, it's always with him. It's the one thing or the other. It's usually it's the putting. And now remember, Sergio's not a, he's 46 years old. He's not the.
So he's 46 and Freddie is 66.
That's right.
Crazy.
Yeah. But I'm glad you mentioned him because he won it back in 2017. And certainly got the monkey off his back. So, all right, we did this. I've done this with Maddie before, and we're going to do it with TLC. And we set the over-under at 9.5.
Yep.
You're going to get 18 questions amongst the Georgia Pines. Will he stand as tall as the Georgia Pines at Augusta National?
I wonder if, see, my mind works in this way, like the creator of this song, whoever orchestrated this song,
Dave Loggins.
What type of kickback have they gotten?
Kenny Loggins,
perhaps.
I don't know.
Footloose.
That's right.
Hey,
I don't know. That's just
can't
how my
get movies,
works.
But I can I'll get music.
I'll look it up in my own time.
You're asking who composed this?
No, I'm curious. Oh. Like, you know, this is such a popular thing when it comes to this tournament.
You should be getting royalties.
Something.
And just. Yeah, living on Easy Street, one and done.
Right.
Like, I can retire off this song.
Right. I wonder if that's the case.
Boy, that would be great.
I don't know.
All right, TLC, here's the game.
Yes.
Can't look at the chat. Can't be on the computer.
Oh,
he does have some homies in the chat.
I know we're not going to play. I mean, CB always gave us the old, don't worry, I'm not looking, but.
He was looking.
Yeah.
He was looking.
So it's time
to be a good patron.
So here's the game. You're going to play hole or not a hole at Augusta. You may not be aware of this, but they all have names.
Okay.
Okay. And then, so you're going to get 9 questions on hole or not a hole. And then you're going to get 9 on golfer or not a golfer.
Okay. I like that.
All right. So should we alternate, Maddie, or just do, let's do the hole names for the front 9 and the golfer names for the back.
I'm here for it.
Okay.
I'm here for that, yes.
So Maddie's going to keep score, and you've got to get 10 of the 18, however you get it.
I'm ready.
Yeah, you can get one of these and 9 of the other and still be good.
Mm-hmm.
You're all power core. Give us your first sense on whether you had any idea right now on whether you have any idea. Have you ever heard of a hole name at Augusta?
I've heard of one of them. However, okay. I kind of thought that it was like a group of holes together that had a nickname. So now I'm kind of nervous. I definitely did not know all 18 had their own title.
Yes.
So that's not good.
All right. Okay, good. That's honest. I appreciate that.
That's
how I felt last year.
This is a multiple choice. And when I say multiple,
50-50,
I mean
actually.
Two.
It's 50-50, yeah. Right, yeah.
I have two choices, right. So I don't need to come up with them myself. I just need something to sound familiar.
Okay. Excuse me, or it's what? It's
fitty, fitty, lemon. Fitty,
fitty, lemon lime. There we go. All right, TLC, I believe in you.
Thank you.
I believe in you.
I'm also going to think like a producer and think, would Anthony come up with this by himself?
Channel this music and let it just shower
eyes.
Over you.
Just relax.
All right, your first question. Hole or not a hole at Augusta? Pink dogwood.
That is not a hole.
It actually is a hole. It's number 2. It's the par 5.
Okay. All right.
Oh, for 1.
Start.
Your next is Angel's Trumpet.
No way. Not a hole.
It's not a hole. He is correct.
Hey, he's on the board.
Count to 10, folks.
All right.
He's on the board.
You get 9 of these now. Now the question is, because I don't want to trend this out where, you know, I want to jump around a little bit so I can kind of fool him a little bit. Carolina Cherry.
I am going to say that is a hole.
It is a hole. It's number 9.
Whew.
Sounds like an ice cream flavor.
He's rolling, folks.
One that I'd try.
All right. Let's try another one. Where are we at? How many?
2 out of 3.
Okay.
We've only done 3. This is your 4th. Here we go.
Yeah. We may do the back 9 in the next segment. All right. Your next hole is Chinese fur.
I almost started laughing at that, and then for whatever reason, I pump faked, and now I'm... Part of me thinks that's correct, but I'd like to go with my first gut instinct, and the first gut instinct was that is not a hole.
It's number 14, the par 4.
Oh, man.
That is correct. It is, or you are incorrect, but that is a hole. All right. As we continue on hole or not a hole.
Why are you laughing, Maddie?
Flowering nectarine.
Because I'm immature.
Flowering nectarine.
Speaking of immature, that is not a hole.
He's correct. It's not.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
He's already up to 3.
Not getting that one past me.
Okay. All right.
By the way, is that like a slight derivative of something?
It
like,
is.
It's it actually is. Flowering pomegranate, but you just it's switched
actually,
the fruit?
It's actually flowering peach.
Hey.
I thought I'd get him.
Okay. See?
I didn't.
I'm thinking like a content
creator. All right. He really is. All right. Evergreen.
Ooh. Simple. Classic. Not a hole, though.
Yeah, he read me there.
Okay.
Yeah, ooh. It was too simple.
Ooh.
All right, how many more do I have to feed him here?
So we're on question 7 here, and he has 4 of the 6 okay, so far correct.
Good. So we're going to 7.
All right.
I should be better at the actual golfers than this.
All right.
Oh, so you're calling your shot.
Well,
here we go. Hole or not a hole?
I heard that.
Sweet correct. Olive.
Yes, that is a hole.
Incorrect.
Oh, well, nope.
Hole number 1 is tea olive.
Like I said, not a hole.
Okay. Maddie,
yes.
Up to date. Give us the up to date.
We are on question 8. He has 4 correct.
Okay. Needs to get to 10.
Yep.
All right. You get 2 more of these.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Soothing music.
Here we go. Hole or not a hole? Golden Bell.
Ooh. Sounds fancy.
Like a Chinese spot.
Sounds.
I'd like to go to.
Uppity, perhaps.
A little bougie.
A little bougie. Yeah,
golden Bell.
Solid gold. If it were like solid Golden Bell.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they like
things. Spent a month there one night.
They like things expensive. Gold is expensive. But there is no gold on the golf course, so I'm going to say not a hole.
It actually is the signature hole, number 12, the par 3.
Hey.
Great.
Last one on the front 9 of these questions.
I think I should be trending for it to come down to the very last question.
Okay.
This is a big one for you, Ryan.
Yeah, here we go. So I need to say, hey, Ryan Day always talks about the middle 8.
That's right.
I got the middle 4.
All right.
Right.
The last one. Hole or not a hole? Nandina.
That is a hole. Because I have no idea how you could possibly come up with that one. I don't know what that means.
He is correct.
Okay.
So it might have been a little bit of a layup. So I should have gone with something a little more crazy.
Should have gone with something actually in the dictionary.
He does have 5 correct.
He's halfway home. Actually, you are now on pace to win.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
But just barely.
So when we come back in the next segment, TLC will play the back 9 of Augusta. And he will play and you will play along with him. Golfer or not a golfer, and you have to be Scout's Honor over there during the break.
I would rather lose than win by cheating.
I know. All right.
I take trivia seriously.
We'll do that next. This is not trivia.
Do that next.
Rothman and Ice on the Fan.
If you miss a live show, you can catch the podcast. If you miss the podcast, our hosts have volunteered to have dinner with you.
Bah, the meatloaf!
The Fan.
This is...
Last year, Eric Reeser and T-Bone staged the first annual Fan 5K. People had a good time and no one died. So we decided to do it all again. It all goes down Saturday, June 20th in Otterbein.
Presented by The Ohio State University Wexner Medical Center.
Will Reeser's muscular calves explode? Will T-Bone's beard choke him while running? More importantly, will Tyvis Common Man and Timmy make total fools of themselves?
Maybe.
Magic 8-Ball says, signs point to yes.
Register today at 971therace.com.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Plenty of sunshine for us today. A beautiful day ahead and warm with highs in the mid to upper 70s and breezy winds. We get mostly clear skies tonight with our lows in the 50s. And then for Friday, we will see a partly sunny day with chances of showers and storms developing in the afternoon and evening. Winds will be breezy and highs in the mid 70s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with a 10 weather impact forecast.
Just when you thought afternoons couldn't get any dumber.
You fellas been doing a bit of boozing, have you?
Common Man and Timmy.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
Your home for dumb. The Fan.
Rothman and Ice present Free Snap Reads.
Sponsored by Dr. Mark Levy. If you're snoring and not sleeping, call Dr. Mark Levy today at 1-800-MORE-SLEEP.
All right, Masters is going on down at Augusta. Sam Burns leads at 5-under through 17. Patrick Reed, a former champ, 4-under through 14. Jason Day is 3-under through 16. Maddie's guy Fleetwood's 3-under through 14. My guy Shoffley's 2-under through 14. Rory, the defending champ, 2-under through 12. Freddie hanging in there, 2-under through 6. Ludvig Åberg, a lot of people like him to get to Sunday. We'll see if he can close. He's 2-under through 4. Spieth is 1-under through 2. And I believe Scottie Scheffler is just about to go off. Or maybe he's on hole number 1. So, that's a little bit of your update. John Rahm, 2-over through 4. Off to a rough start. DeChambeau, 3-over through 14. Cam Young, 3-over through 12. Victor Hovland, 4-over through 12. So, a couple of people...
You got anything on Batia? He was the guy
Akshay Batia.
Yeah, he was rolling around with Kelsey yesterday.
Now I can't burn that name in the contest.
Oh, my bad, dog.
No, that's all right. I don't... He may have known that. Or maybe. That would have been a... By the way, that would have been a great name. Where is he?
Let me see. Hold on. Let me pull this up.
I thought he was up there. Oh, there he is. One under through 14.
Okay.
He's in it.
In the mix.
All right. So, you are at 5. You need 5 of the 9 to get the power core.
I feel like it should be like 2 power cores. One from you, one from me.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
All righty then.
Yeah.
If you're volunteering.
It's 2 separate contests he's participating in.
Yeah.
You know?
Or maybe just 2 for you and none from me.
I'll take care of that. All right. I'll take care of it. I want it.
All right. So this is it. This is golfer or not a golfer. Okay?
Yes.
Maddie and I kind of discussed this during the break.
Let me get the leaderboard off my screen. There we go. Integrity. Big on it.
Yeah. Maddie and I do believe, though, that I have to name a golfer that's in the field. I can't just come up with some rando golfer. Like, if it is a golfer, he's got to be in the field. Like, if the answer is yes and it's true, he should be in the field.
I mean, don't give me the Corn Ferry Tour.
No, I'm not going to give you anybody that's not in the Masters if it's correct.
Okay.
And the ones that obviously I'll make up.
Yeah.
All right.
I like that.
Let's start. Golfer or not a golfer?
I'm a little bit golf illiterate, but I shouldn't be so much so that I have never heard of these guys.
Well, I don't think about that because I am actually going to... I mean, I could give you some that might ring a bell, a golden bell, but I don't think I'm going to go that route.
Okay.
You're not going to get anybody in the top 30. You're probably not going to get a major winner at any time.
Sung Wei Kim.
Like, who, what?
Was that a person?
Close.
Who are you gambling
that
with?
That was close. Siwoo Kim is in the tournament. But
what did you say?
I don't know what you said.
Somewhere close. Sung Wei.
He's at +2 right now.
All right.
AR's boy.
Here we go. You ready?
Yes.
Okay. Golfer or not a golfer? Ben Griffin.
Sounds familiar. Did Ben Griffin come on our show during the memorial? Or was he discussed during the memorial? I'm going to say this is a golfer. God, I hope so.
You got it.
Okay.
You got it.
Ooh. Hey. Yes.
Because if you made that up and I'm like, oh, yeah, he came on our show, then I really wasn't listening to you guys.
Golfer or not a golfer?
I can't hear you guys anymore.
You can't hear us?
No. Give me like 20 seconds. It usually resolves itself.
Well, that changes things.
What do you need to charge him? I'm asking him a question. He just told me.
No, he's got it.
I'll let you know in my headphones.
He's got a cord.
It's interesting because he's just staring at us with his mic on still, but he can't hear anything.
That's not abnormal. He's just staring at us with his mic on.
I'm back on.
He's back, folks.
Well, let me ask you this real quick.
It's like we sent him into an isolation booth.
Do you need to charge those? What's the case?
No, in that situation.
They just go in and out.
It's something with like the board or something here. Yeah. It happened during Baker's update, too. So like he was talking and we couldn't hear him, but we're just like, eh, it'll come back. Every now and again it'll happen.
I got you.
All right, you ready?
Yes.
All right. Golfer or not a golfer? Robert McIntyre.
I think there is a McIntyre. I definitely don't know his first name. I'm going to say yes.
It's correct.
All right.
Okay.
Ready for these Fugazi names.
He needs three more. Al.
Yeah, I may have to really now. I don't know how I'm going to fool him now. All right. Golfer or not a golfer? Maverick McNeely.
Strong name. I like that name. If you came up with it, that's pretty good. However, I am going to say that is a golfer.
That's correct.
Okay.
Right there. Oh, he's on fire.
Two more.
What's going on over there? See a mouse being jostled over there.
He's just adjusting.
You guys can say whatever you want about me right now because I can't hear you.
Again?
You can't hear us. I don't know what. You got to get some new cans over there, big dog. Maybe that's what we need to buy him. Some new headphones. I just love that now he's just like looking up at the TV. He's just waiting for the sound to come back.
Just letting the music fill the time.
AR, I think the guy's, he's locked.
He only needs two more, right?
I'm back.
He's gone 3 for 3.
He's got 8 on the board.
I don't even know whether to go fake or real now. He's got us on tilt. Really not sure.
I think this is more of an indication of how much you talk about golf because I don't know these guys otherwise. It has to be. I heard you talk about them. I think Ben Griffin did
party
have
like a rock star or something.
That's definitely possible.
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe that, maybe under pressure.
All right, here we go.
He can smell the power cores already.
Yeah, here we go.
Or taste them.
Because I don't know whether I can change the first name and keep the last name.
Now he's got you flustered.
Change the last name and keep the first name.
That might wreck me.
I think that's what I'm going to have to do.
Yeah, let's do that.
This has got a lot harder.
Carlos Ortiz.
Oh, man. Well, now here comes the strategy of would he say all of that just to then give me a real golfer? So now it's either reverse psychology or double reverse psychology. Which one is it? I'm going to say that is not a real golfer. Not to insult your intelligence and your strategery over there. I'm going to say that's not a real golfer.
Yeah, he is a real golfer.
See, double reverse.
Mm-hmm. I did the double reverse.
There you go, Al.
All right, we're on the board, you and me. All right. Golfer or not a golfer?
Happy Gilmore.
Bob Barker.
Greg Goderup.
Oh. Goderup is a last name that I've heard before, so it's got to be someone from the sports world. Let's just call it golf for the sake of this. But now that you have this new invention that you got where you got the correct last name but the incorrect first name, so we got the alliteration that would be easy for you to come up with if you were just trying to make up a first name. Because you would see the G from Goderup and just, what's a G name?
He's
Greg.
He's like O's over there.
I'm trying to O's this thing. So you know what?
He is trying to O's it up.
Just to be cocky, just to act like I've figured it all out and every little detail in between, I'll say that's a fake name, but a real last name.
He got it. Yeah, that's correct.
One more.
His name is Chris. This is Chris. All right, how many more do we have to do?
We are on question 15, and he needs one more.
Casey Jarvis.
Fake.
Real.
Oh.
All right. Question 16. And again, he needs two more.
I need two more?
Yep.
Dang, I thought I had four this round.
I'm sorry. He needs one more.
Thank you.
Okay.
He needs one more.
It's too bad.
It's my bad. One more.
All right. Where does he go? Scrolling down the leaderboard, trying to find a name that he would not know. Let's go with... Matt McCarty.
That is a fake name.
That is a real name.
Oh, no.
Okay. Two more questions.
And he needs one.
And he needs one.
I mean, to go 0 for 2 with the line and Roddy Gale this thing, I think he's probably going to be okay.
Roddy Gale this thing.
All right.
Okay.
Don't want to get too crazy here. I got to keep it, you know. All right. I don't know if this is going to be easy or hard. We'll see.
Do you need more time?
Russell Henley.
That's a real player.
It is.
Power cores are on the way.
You got it.
Power you cores are it. On the way. Fire up his theme music.
Well Whatever. Done. Mm-hmm. I was trying to get tricky. And I couldn't trick him. Well done.
Yeah, you did well.
All right.
Cheap trick.
We're coming back in 2 minutes. Gold Jacket Thursday, number 99, the man they call Danimal. Dan Hampton will join us next. Rothman and Ice.
Com.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Rothman and Ice present Gold Jacket Thursday.
Presented by the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
All right, it's a Gold Jacket Thursday, and very proud to welcome this man on. He was an All-American out of the University of Arkansas, picked by the Chicago Bears with the fourth overall pick in the 1979 NFL Draft, played a dozen seasons on the D-line in the Windy City. All he did was make the Pro Bowl four times. He was all pro five times, but he won that Super Bowl 20 with perhaps the greatest team ever assembled, the 1985 Bears, class of 02, into football heaven in Canton. He is back. He is Hall of Famer Dan Hampton. The Danimal is in Canton. Good to have you.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure to be back here in the great state of Ohio. But I got to tell you, the Hall of Fame, every time I come back, something's changed. They're adding on, building on new exhibits. It's amazing.
It really is. We've touted it for a long time. People down here in Columbus, it's not that long of a drive to get up there. And when you do, you just feel like you've been transported back in time. It's awesome. And I'm glad you're back reliving this. I want to take you all the way back to Arkansas, though, because of something recent here. You played for Coach Broyles, and then you transitioned to a guy who self-admittedly kind of flunked out of the pros, Lou Holtz. Tell me about Lou's impact on you and what you thought of him when he was coming to Arkansas.
Well, and you know what? Just a real quick aside, I was at his funeral about a month ago, and I got to tell you, you know, Lou Holtz was special in my world, my life, but in hundreds and hundreds of football players' lives. And it was funny, I was standing in line outside the church, and this, I guess, is the test and, you know, the true testimonial about a man's life. I must have had 10 different coaches and Notre Dame players come up to me and want to tell me their Lou Holtz, you know, story, what he meant to them. And I got to tell you, that era of football was outstanding. You know, I'd had Jimmy Johnson as my defensive coordinator, and then I got Lou Holtz, and then he brought in Monty Kiffin, the great Monty Kiffin, who obviously won a Super Bowl with Tampa Bay. And, you know, the thing about Lou Holtz was he made everyone want to play together as a team. And it was almost like team over individuals. And as you know, a lot of sports today, it's all about me. It's all about individuals. Lou Holtz, it was all about what you could do to help the team.
That's awesome. You know, Dan, it's a pleasure talking to you. I want to lock in on some of your favorite memories of being a part of the 85 Bears, because Anthony mentioned it off the top. That team has just gone down in the history books and will forever go down in the history books as one of the best teams, one of the most popular teams, one of the coolest teams in the history of the NFL. So being a part of that club, being in that locker room with those guys, what are some of your favorite memories of being a part of that ride?
Well, you know, it was kind of like an awakening. You know, we were a bunch of kids that wanted to work hard, but we had a great leader. And not only, you know, Walter Payton, but Mike Ditka. Mike Ditka came to us and basically said, I played in the Super Bowl. I've coached. I know what it takes. Trust me. And you know what? Walter bought in, so the rest of us followed him like, you know, a sheep herder. Hey, whatever you say, we'll do. What wall do you want us to run through? And we had so many, you know, good players, but every one of the players were not prima donnas. We practiced hard. We played violently. And that's the way we knew we had to be if we wanted to have our team remembered as something special. And, you know, looking back, it's been 40 years, but people still talk about not only the great, you know, 85 Bears, the defense, the Super Bowl shuffle, you know, the great Walter Payton. We had a lot of bells and whistles, but boy, we could beat you up pretty good too.
You and I have something in common. We both thought the Super Bowl shuffle was going to be the kiss of death. I swear to you, I called into a Chicago radio station and got on the air as a young kid saying, why are they doing this now? And, you know, I remember you were not in it, because the night before, I think you guys, they were supposed to do the video. That's when you lost your first game, correct, to Miami that year. And I guess they had to show up and do the filming the next morning, and everybody was in a, you know, pissed off mood. And I think Payton, who initially supported it, was kind of, he had to be spliced in later with Jimmy Mack, but you weren't in it. Why was that?
Superstitious, man. Just like you said.
Yeah, good for you.
The kiss of death. Why are you courting this? We don't need this. You know, we were already, we'd be going to Indianapolis, and it'd be 5,000 people at the hotel. You know, we were like a rock band, you know, on tour. But I mean, it was really, I didn't want it to get completely out of control. And you know what? To Dick's credit, he basically said, hey, I don't want to have nothing to do with it, but if you guys do it on your own time, God, you know, God love you. But long and short, years later, we all laughed and we all said, hey, what team had the balls to go out and make a soundtrack about their team, their season, and now, 40 years later, it still plays pretty well.
Yeah. So let's you mentioned soundtrack. Let's dig into your history a little bit, because there's some stuff out there, Dan, that apparently you're really good in the music industry as far as playing instruments. So I'm seeing saxophone and maybe some other stuff. Your history with that, talk about how that came about and your skill set and the capability to do that.
As a kid, I fell out of a tree, and the doctor said, you have no chance playing football. So I started playing music, and I was in a rock band, played saxophone, played bass guitar, drums, piano, all this. And then I got talked into playing football in 11th grade. And then so I walked into the world of football. And then after, you know, a number of years, Walter Payton and Dave Duerson and I, we formed a rock band and played a little bit in the off season. And then years later, Steve McMichael and Otis Wilson and I put the band back together, and we played probably 150 gigs. But hey, once you got the bite to play football, you play until you can't. Once you get the bite to play, music, you play until you can't. It's just that way.
He is Dan Hampton, the Hall of Famer, back in Canton. We'll give you details on how you can meet and greet with Danimal here this weekend. All right, tell me about the fridge. You get the big fella in there. Personally speaking, and I don't know if you think it was fair that Coach Ditka took some criticism for giving him the ball in the Super Bowl instead of Walter on the goal line, but this big rookie coming in on that D-line who could really wreck teams, and then he gives him the ball to score a touchdown in the Super Bowl. What did you think of the fridge?
I got to tell you, you know, looking back, he was one of my favorite teammates. We laughed. That team, we laughed about everything. And it was just who we were. Hey, you know what? It was a novelty item that we were basically laughing at people saying, hey, you think we're good? We'll try to tackle him, you know, that kind of thing. And I hate that Walter took umbrage. I hate that Walter, you know, felt like that was like, you know, an embarrassing moment where he didn't get the ball. But I told him, I said, you had it 23 times. You could have scored any one of those 20. Yeah. But, you know, I said, I didn't score either. I didn't care. I said, you know, we have to look at things in a realistic manner. That team was out of control, and I'm glad Dick gave it to him.
Want to get your thoughts on the current state of the Chicago Bears, because, Dan, it seems like they're on the up and up. So Ben Johnson comes in. They draft Caleb Williams really high a couple years ago, and here they are putting together a nice season. How do you feel about what they're cooking up in Chicago right now, what they're going to be rolling out on Sundays for years to come?
You know, the season started out last year. They were one of the five worst teams. They ended this past season as one of the five best teams. And you can make a case. They had a chance to go to the championship game, and obviously they had, you know, an interception to stop it. The long and short of it is, in the NFL today, different than when I played, you needed to be very good at the line of scrimmage. Now, the two most important facets are what? Quarterback and head coach. Those are now, you know, taken care of with the Chicago Bears. There's no doubt in my mind that Caleb will become one of the top five quarterbacks in the NFL. I think Ben Johnson proved last year that he is capable of not only becoming, but sustaining his ability to be one of the top five coaches. And then you just got to hope everybody stays healthy.
Dan Hampton, one of the most admired defensive players that's ever suited up because of what he left on the field, all the surgeries, played hurt. No one could figure out why you kept suiting up, man, after all the surgeries. It's incredibly admirable. You played on that 85 team with a couple of our Buckeyes. Tom Zach was on the team. Sean Gale was on that team, I remember. Doug Plank, who was, I think, one of the hardest hitters in the game, didn't make it all the way to 85 with you guys, but you played with a few Buckeyes that we love to talk about.
Absolutely. And you know what? Todd Bell was probably the best player from Ohio State on our football team. And unfortunately, Todd set out the Super Bowl year and then came back and never really regained his, you know, his wonderful ability. But Todd Bell and died later in a car crash. Yeah. But I got to tell you, the stories from those guys about Ohio State, Woody Hayes, man, we would crack up all the time. And Ohio State was, you know, I hate to say it, like a feeder club. I mean, everybody loved the players from Ohio State because they were tough guys and they played the game the right way. No sissies, you know, allowed. They wanted to knock the hell out of you, and we loved each and every one of them.
It's got to be worth it, right, Dan? I mentioned all the surgeries. You look back on it today. Do you ever question whether you should have done it based on how you feel today or all the surgeries?
You know, I was just talking about my great teammate, Steve McMichael, who passed away. Yeah. And, you know, who knows why you get ALS? Who knows why things happen? But I'll tell you this, up until, you know, he couldn't speak anymore, we all agreed, no matter what happens, we were one of the chosen few that got the opportunity and chance to play the game the way we did at that high level, at that moment in time. We wouldn't trade it for anything on planet Earth. And absolutely, the greatest game, and we had the greatest time.
I'll tell you, this has been an absolute privilege for me, a guy that grew up admiring you. You'll be at the Hall of Fame this weekend. So Saturday, 10 a.m., head on to the Hall of Fame in Canton. Big Dan will be there talking to guests in the bus gallery. You'll be the Hall of Famer at the Hall, the greeter at 11. And then 1 to 2 in the afternoon, you'll be in the museum meeting with guests. And as I say all the time, you can't miss him. He'll be the guy in the gold jacket. I hope you soak it in, Danimal. This has been a pleasure. Be well. Thanks for the visit.
God bless, and thank you so much, and I can't wait. I'm going to be handing out candy bars. It'll be fun.
You the man. Appreciate it. Thanks, Dan.
Thank you.
You got it. Dan Hampton, 99, Chicago Bears, Super Bowl champion, 85, played across three different decades, 12 seasons, 157 games. He will be an outstanding guy to meet and greet up in Canton this weekend. We come back with Tell the Truth, Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Unlike your deadbeat uncle, we'll never leave you stranded in a ditch when you were six. This promo may have been a touch too specific. The Fan.
Hey, it's awesome.
Day started with T-Bone and Tybus weekday mornings from 6 to 9 here on The Fan. You'd think that a radio lifer and a national title winner wouldn't have much in common, but you'd be wrong. They're both girthy, they both love football, and they both get racially profiled for completely different reasons. It's like driving to work with your friends, except these friends give away tickets to things and talk to all the important people in town. Your actual friends are probably a bunch of losers. Well, anyway, listen to T-Bone and Tybus live on The Fan, The Fan app, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Come in.
T-Bone and Tybus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus.
Are you and Bob Marley related, since you're both Jamaican?
No, me and Usain Bolt is.
Oh, yeah. That's also
a... Who would win in a race?
Me! No, why would you ask that?
Mornings on The Fan. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Tell the Truth with Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by McDaniel GM Superstore. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive.
All right, TLC, real quickly, a little rapid fire. We'll do this quickly, right?
Yep.
Golfer or not a golfer? Kenny Banya.
Trying to get your lick back, AR?
Yeah.
Not a golfer.
Correct. Lloyd Braun.
Not a golfer.
Tim Watley.
Not a golfer.
Joe Davola.
I've never heard of him.
David Putty.
Never heard of
him.
Is
he getting all these correct real
quick? Bob Sacamano.
No, I think these are all the bot. Not a golfer.
Art Vandelay.
Not a golfer. Vandelay Industries. I got that one.
I was just naming all Seinfeld like sub-characters. Okay, he ripped through them. All right, good job. Take us home.
It took Scottie Scheffler all of, really, three holes to get into the top three on the leaderboard. So he is through four, he is three under, and that puts him tied for third behind Burns and McIlroy.
Wow.
This guy.
Yeah, this guy. This freaking guy.
Hey, well, Patrick Reed had a hot start, and then he kind of slowed down towards the end. He's still going. He'd be
Scheffler.
On 17, but...
He came in not in great form, switched his driver... Hasn't had a top 20 in his last couple of events, and he's one of those guys that won there a couple times already. So
PEDs, performance enhancing drivers.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy, man.
There's a very low hanging fruit joke out there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to make it, so I won't. But someone
that's
out there.
That's not like you. Usually you will.
But it's so low hanging fruit that it's not funny.
Okay.
Here's the joke. Did Tiger Woods also switch his driver?
Okay. Switch. He was too busy switching the radio station.
See what he did there. I like that joke better.
Thank you.
One of you guys mentioned he eagled too. Did you tell me that?
He did.
I mean, this dude is unreal. And then you and I were talking during the break. Like, the swing is unorthodox. It's not, I think, what you would teach kids, probably.
Feet are moving all over the place.
Crazy.
Obviously, it's an amazing follow-through because he gets almost crazy onto his left side and almost falls over. He's tall. He's just got a lanky, laggy swing. He's... When he wasn't closing, it was the putter. He couldn't be counted on with the putter. And Tiger, Tiger was always clutch with the putter. And I thought, that's where, when they were comparing Scheffler to Tiger and all that, I was like, well, maybe the putter's going to hold Scotty back. He's great tee to green, but his putter... escapes him. He's changing grips and all that.
Mm-hmm.
He seems to have gotten over that a little bit. Certainly doesn't make everything. Nobody does. But I would say that Scottie Scheffler was not in my top five of power ranking guys coming in, even though he was the favorite. He wasn't in mine. Mm-hmm. But maybe that's just psychological that I want to do the anti-Scottie bet because it's too boring to bet him because he's always the favorite.
I was talking to the president.
Yep, he was. Too bad, Tiger, that didn't hold any weight there.
He was trying to.
Because he's dating. What if he was? Who's he dating again?
Laura.
Like, and what's her relation?
One of the ex of.
Yeah, it's an ex
of Don Jr. Maybe.
Oh, okay.
Okay. One of, yeah. Anyway, it would have been great if he said, "Not I was just talking to the president." If he would have said, "I'm on with the president. He wants to talk to you." Now that would have been something.
That would have been interesting.
So the question here, and tell the truth, is: was he really talking to him, or did he try to call him? Maybe didn't get him, and just said, "I was just talking to the president."
Tough question at the presser.
Yeah.
Does it count as talking to the president if you were leaving him a voicemail because he didn't pick up?
Right. I mean,
no.
You were talking to him. If you he just wasn't talking back.
I don't know if anybody's followed up. No one's really talked to him. But if we ask this question, Tiger said, I was just talking with the president. What's he saying? Hey, I'm in a situation. Can you call the Jupiter police and get me off the hook here? Like what?
Probably something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
But I would ask you, do you think he really connected with the president in that moment at that time?
I think in his mind, he was a little shook and he thought that would be an out.
I'm not saying he didn't try. He probably did.
I don't think he was. I don't think he was. I don't know.
He's got him on speed dial, man. I mean,
call right into the West Wing.
Is he going to pick up at that point, at that time? All right. I was just on with the president. All right. We'll put him on speaker. Let's hear.
This was a fan poll from a few days ago. I have no idea what led to this. Maybe this had to have come from Bobby's show, maybe, because he played for the Lions and the Cowboys. I don't know. I don't know who brought this up now, but I'm interested. Should the Cowboys and Lions play on Thanksgiving every year forever, no matter what?
That smells like a Bodie Wells special right there, right? He's a big Cowboys fan.
Yeah, sure.
Should the Cowboys and Lions play on Thanksgiving no matter what? No. Because I don't like watching bad teams. So if they're bad, I don't want to watch. Because then it's just nap time on Thanksgiving.
I don't know if Bodie or Dylan comes up with these. I really don't.
So they've added the third game, right?
Yeah.
So now we have three.
Yeah.
Which we never had when I was a kid. I don't think we ever had three. It's a tradition. They've been playing it for such a long time. And part of me likes to honor those traditions. But it is sports. No, we can't guarantee great games. You can't guarantee. You set the schedule before the season. We don't know who's going to be healthy or whatever. So part of me wants to just kind of lean into it because I don't want to take it out of those cities. They've had it for it's more of honoring them.
Okay. Hey, we got to go. Common Man and Timmy coming up next. It's Too Hot Thursday. Adam Rittenberg joins at 3:30.
We'll come back and talk to you on Friday at high noon. Thanks for listening. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
We are your radio home for the Buckeyes, Browns, and all the NFL games you can handle. We may have a bit of a football problem.
Oh, yeah.
The Fan, Ohio Sports Destiny.